Lynn to give it. Okay, here we go.
I have online as well.
All right. Good morning, folks. It is now 9:02. I'm going to call to order the meeting of October the 8th, 2020. And I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda as presented. Do I have a second for the motion?
No.
Oh, thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. Oops. Thank you. Okay, going right to administration. Do we have Chris Albert on the line?
Aye.
Not yet. Okay. I'll go right to then the status of 34. Well, there's a punch list. I'll let Chris talk to that. The DPW report is going to be absent today because the crew has been working very diligently on the Bergdorf culvert replacement. For those who may not be aware, Bergdorf Road has been closed for over a year. When the existing culvert was undermined and the road somewhat caved in on top of it. Kelly's going to be coming to the board with some pictures to show what that situation was. And what's amazing, any one of us can go down there today, but the culvert that was removed, which was the one that failed, like the Thusis culvert, has no bottom. Completely rotted out. That was a disaster waiting to happen. And just, what are we now? Pretty much 3 days' time, he's almost done. He'll be grading the road today, putting down some good material, but I'll let Kelly talk to that. But I just want to bring up a very important point in that we've had culvert failures. We've experienced one this year, not a failure, but a potential failure. That was the Thusis culvert in which a warrant article was generated to fix that. And if there's any doubt on Kelly's experience, I think this simply puts it to bed. When he's telling us and warning us that a culvert is about to fail, we need to believe in him. He's got some very serious training behind him and the certificates to prove that, and he's just been batting 1,000, and I hope he steps up more often when he needs to warn us and that we take his advice, like some people should with viruses and things.
So, now don't get political.
I know.
Yeah,
now don't get
political.
So I'll move on from there, and I'm going to jump right to...
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yes, Dinah. Was there a DES permit for that?
There wasn't. It wasn't necessary.
Why?
Say that again. Was that why?
Yeah.
Kelly had investigated it. We have all the emails here, and he is authorized to repair or replace culverts up to, I believe it's 48 inches, and so he took it under his authority to go ahead and do so.
I won't belabor it here. Maybe I'll ask for those emails, because it was a stream and it needed DES approval, so we'll move on. The other thing is that culvert wasn't that old.
Well, yeah, I don't want to go. Yeah, the metal culvert underneath. Say again?
Yeah. I'm sorry. We need to keep public comments to the end unless the sign has treasury issues. That's great, but we shouldn't be getting into these.
Right. Yeah, Kelly's going to give a good presentation on it when he comes back, so I'd rather wait for him to give the details. So if you don't mind, Dinah, waiting, that'd be great.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, thank you. I want to jump to 47 and 49 Idlewise Drive. We get two correspondents, one from each resident. And I'm going to start with number 47 Idlewise Drive because that's how it's listed on the agenda. And, yeah, this is getting thick.
Mm-hmm.
So we have correspondence from the homeowner's attorney. And I guess I'll read the letter. Dear Chairman Leiser and Commissioners Kozel and Buckley, I'm not sure if people understand, but Adam's not on the Board of Commissioners any longer. It's Paula Doyle has replaced Adam. He states, I represent the Hendersons. I'm writing because the district's recent road work on Idlewise Drive has damaged the Hendersons' property. The driveway is paved. During the road work, a section of pavement that runs up the driveway was cut away. It was not replaced. This left the end of the driveway as dirt and left a lip where the pavement was cut away. The rain washes away the dirt as this lip is making it more pronounced, hastening the erosion of the driveway. It also creates access problems and soon will create a problem for plowing snow in their driveway. I've attached three photos. The access problem may cost the Hendersons rental income. People were scheduled to rent the house for a long weekend. The Hendersons have told them about the problem. If the renters don't wish to reschedule their stay, the Hendersons will have to refund their money. I understand the email is not the best way to solve the problem, but I wanted to get the conversation started. Please let me know when we may discuss this problem with the aim of arriving at a solution. I look forward to the response. So that's in regards to 47 Idlewise Drive. And I know we've had correspondence ongoing over the past couple of months about they have actually a driveway application permit to repave the driveway. And the last that it was left was their contractor was going to try to get in touch with the BW to basically understand what the conditions of approval are. And I called Kelly just before coming to the meeting because I knew he wouldn't be here. And other than the fact that the contractor said he'd like to actually go and be on site and talk with Kelly about what this grade is all about, you know, and how to direct it into the basin. Nothing has happened since then. That was a while ago. So,
yes. 2 months, I bet.
Yeah, the ball is in the court of the homeowner. The cut in the pavement of that driveway was done on district property. Everybody understands that. I don't believe the homeowners understand.
Now, was it district property or on our right-of-way on their property?
No, on district property.
It was
property.
Still within the 40-foot width of the road.
Yeah,
okay.
We could have gone a lot further up the driveway
right.
if you wanted to consider right-of-way, but there was no reason to.
Okay.
The
29th
is when we heard.
The 29th of?
September.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not that. No, but when...
No, right.
But
the
when
contractor
Kelly, right, when
talked
the,
to
the paving guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
let me just ask a quick question. If they come to pave their driveway, will it be able to address the issue with the cut? So if they pave their driveway, it will get rid of it.
Yeah, they're going to be allowed to pave down beyond the cut and to where it basically slopes out. Kelly,
well, really, we just need to get back to them and say, one, this is on our property, and two, we're waiting to hear from your, calling your court and getting your contractor.
Yeah.
Contact Kelly. They will be allowed to pave beyond the cut. And that should address the issue.
Yeah.
Who's going
to get And the reason
done?
We did it was to be proactive to get it done before they paved their driveway.
Yeah.
Right, we were getting it prepped for their paving.
Yeah. Let's get that communication out to them and move on.
Okay, let me ask the question. Lynn or Donna, do you feel comfortable with putting that letter together, or would you like one of us to do so?
The only thing is I've emailed back and forth to the homeowner.
Yeah.
And... she knows that we're just waiting for her approval for the...
I feel because it was the letter came from an attorney that it might make sense for one of the commissioners to draft the response because it wasn't a simple explanation. I think, Jay, you probably are the most familiar with the details of that.
Okay, I'll work with
Kelly. And just one paragraph. It doesn't have to be...
The 3 points I just made.
Yeah.
Here's how we feel about this. It was on our property. We're waiting to hear from them. Actually did it in order to help them, and they just need to get their paving done.
Right. Prior to the paving job,
Okay.
And the water off their driveway was damaging the road.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you could have damaged that driveway because it was in horrible condition.
Yeah.
Okay. which is irrelevant.
So I'll do that. I'll take that on. I'll work with Kelly. And so once that letter is drafted, I will put it through the office to distribute to the other two commissioners. And I'll make a motion that we sign that letter out of session if the other two commissioners agree. If there's something you disagree that's in the content of the letter, we can then discuss it next week.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. I want to make sure that Lynn and Donna captured the motion.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right. Now I'm going to jump to 49 Idlewise Drive. We've got correspondence, actually a call-centric this one here. I can't play it, obviously, but basically, let me just see if there's anything here in the text. So this homeowner was, let me go back to some earlier correspondence to see if we actually stated what the cost would be. He's questioning the cost of the culverts, the two culverts that were placed underneath his driveway. We got 30 feet by 15-inch culvert. For everybody who knows, the culverts come in 20-foot lengths. Okay, we did send the homeowner invoice.
The history on this, we never had his original mailing address because he's on the well, he's not on the water system.
Right.
So it took us a while to track him down. We happened to track him down. He actually called into the office one day, and Jay and myself were there, so Jay spoke to the homeowner.
Yeah.
Kelly said that it would need one or two culverts at $250 a culvert.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman was on board, but he doesn't have access to email. That's why he called in, because I said to call in so that the commissioners can hear the voicemail.
We don't have any writing that we told them it was one or two for $250 each?
No, because we had trouble tracking him down, and he was on board.
Somebody's just call him back then and say, we had a phone conversation with you, our DPW person said it was one or two culverts, since they were $250
yeah.
each. It ended up being two? Or one and a half?
He was told that it could be more than the $250, and he thinks he was told that it was definitely $300 the most. So he's complaining that it was...
I think we just need to get back to him and say, this is the conversation we had, this is the cost, this is what we put in, this is the cost.
Yeah. I don't think it sounded like he was complaining. He just said, for what it's worth, he didn't seem to be...
He wanted $300 instead of the...
Yeah, so let me just go through some detail here, and Kelly has actually got a drawing that shows this. So we did cross his driveway with...
He's not challenging the amount of culvert we put in.
Right.
He's just charging. He's saying, you told me it was going to be this and it's this. And the fact is, we told him it was going to be what it was.
To run underneath his driveway.
Go back to him and say,
we needed two culverts.
We didn't need two culverts to go underneath his driveway, only one.
Well,
we needed two culverts to run continue that culvert into the catch basin, which is the district's responsibility. So what Kelly's saying is that, we took an extra piece of culvert because we had to now direct the water into the new catch basin, which is not his responsibility.
Overcharged him?
No. Well, I think so. I think basically that extra 15, 20 feet that brings the water from his driveway then into the catch basin between the Hendersons and his property is really that of the district. So I wouldn't mind reducing this to $300. Because you are responsible for paying for a culvert underneath your driveway, but you're not responsible for keeping it going down the road to some other mechanism that's going to take the water away, which was the catch basin.
But was that necessitated by needing to fix his driveway?
Yeah, all he had was an old metal culvert.
If we hadn't done this for him, we wouldn't have incurred any cost to ourselves.
But we still would have had the erosion problem at the Hendersons. Yeah, 47.
Well, Kelly, because we got the information from Kelly as far as the cost goes, so
right.
He's, I think, under the belief that the homeowner would be responsible for both those sections of culvert.
Yeah, but when I spoke to him, I thought it was one or two, and we didn't have the actual number at the time, but we said it could be up to $300.
What's the number you gave him on the phone? What was the maximum number you gave him?
$300.
I thought you said you gave him $500. You said one or two culverts, $250 each. That means you told him it was up to $500.
Mm-hmm. No, he's actually being charged $460.
I understand that, but what did you tell him it was going to be?
We told him up to $300
per section.
No.
No.
Okay.
For the whole thing.
Then charge him $300.
Yeah.
Sure. Yep.
I thought you told him it was 500.
No. Jay was.
Because that's why we know that one. I'm just trying to get the cost of one culvert from Kelly's numbers.
It was 250 at the time. Culverts are 250.
Right.
But the invoice, that's.
Yeah.
But we billed them.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll make a motion that we reduce it to $300. Any further discussion?
No.
Okay. All in favor? Right.
Yes. That's 49. Okay.
Do you have?
Did Chris call in yet?
No.
And do you have? Is it just this phone number you have? That's all.
No, I have his address now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Send him
mm-hmm.
in writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's 47 and 49. So now I'm going to switch over to the admins. And so have you guys been busy at all?
We've been very busy. There's been an awful lot of 91As that have been very involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of our work this week, actually. And yesterday, the computer, I couldn't open it, Microsoft Office. It took us 2 hours. After it's that same problem that we had back a couple months ago, and we finally got it up and running. But everything that we did before wasn't working, so we had to. But it was the same error.
One thing I would ask, and I don't want to create more work for you guys, so only if it's something you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're filling those requests, just make a note on a copy of how long they're taking you.
Okay, that's fine.
Because I think what was interesting is Nashua recently
yeah.
had to hire somebody to fill their 91A.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They started tracking how many hours it was taking a month. And I think that's, you know, as a citizen, that's something I'd like, right, I have a right to know. I'd
mm-hmm.
like to know if you keep track of it,
mm-hmm.
how long it takes to fill
mm-hmm.
these requests. Cause
okay.
we're a small office. I mean, we're
mm-hmm.
not a huge town. We don't have,
mm-hmm.
we have limited resources. We want to be able to meet all these requests.
Yeah,
within 5 days.
And that's what I'm trying to do. But
which is great.
Yeah.
But I think...
And unfortunately...
If other people's
yeah.
requests get, you know, other things people need, we have to put on hold while we
mm-hmm.
fill those.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to tell people why they have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
That's all,
yeah.
which is what they were doing
yeah.
down there.
And
so
jump off from where she just stated, because the other thing is that we may want to take a look at the budget needs for next year.
Yeah.
And if the interest in documentation continues from the residents, because there is great interest in it, then we may have to budget for it and actually hire a third person just to handle 91A requests.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
I think that would
be worthwhile. With regards to 91A requests, is there any request that you need the assistance from the commissioners?
I will. Absolutely. There is one that I need...
Okay.
Definitely. And then if I don't understand it, I usually just send the 3 years an email.
Yeah.
And just to please advise. So
yeah.
that's what I've been telling Lynn to do. So.
Yeah. There was one question you had, and it was in regards to sending some of these documents in a PDF format.
Yeah.
And I know you had a question.
Yeah. Did he ever get back?
Well, I asked him two questions. And he said, yes, you absolutely can do that, and there's even RSAs to prove that. But then when I read the RSAs that he attached, it had nothing to do with that question.
Yeah.
So he didn't answer the question.
So,
Maybe, Ralph, could I ask you a question? I don't know everything about it, but I was told by Nancy that anything had to go out as a PDF for a 91A request, like if it's in a QuickBooks
report
or
spreadsheet,
beneficial so that nobody can modify the report.
Right. Yeah.
So you want to be able to send it out and have integrity to what you're sending out.
Yeah.
So I think it's beneficial for files to be converted into PDF before you send them out.
The issue is we sent some Excel documents and people wanted We sent PDFs. They wanted Excel documents so they could work on them. We didn't want to do that because then they could document.
Potentially.
We should say. Yeah, that's not why they did it, but the question is, it raises that integrity issue.
Somebody could be doing analytical work with it,
right.
Modify
numbers. Yeah, like you might be trying to calculate percentages or do something. We understand
And you don't know effectively if that person circulates it. You don't know whether that's the real document or not. And so I think it's important for the integrity of the message, your responses to be in a form that can be modified.
What about RSA 91A statute, though? Are we violating any statute by not providing it in the Excel spreadsheet?
I don't think so. I really don't.
It's
one of these things. Excel is great to be easily changed.
Sure.
and again, it's one of those things. You want to be able to have something that has what you represent it to be.
Okay.
Okay. Unfortunately, somebody who wants to use an Excel spreadsheet for other purposes now it becomes difficult. So it's an unfortunate thing.
Right.
However, if somebody wants to copy the column or whatever, they can do it. It's a manual task. So that does represent a difficulty, but again, it's one of those things. You really want the information to be the information that you really supply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The other thing for anyone that might request a document and only get it in PDF format and you want to convert it, there are converters out there that will take a PDF.
Oh, yeah.
Convert it
PDF can be converted.
However, you have a record of what was actually sent. Exactly.
And you can then represent that this is actually in a form that you write.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
All set, Don?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So Donna had also sent out a list of the ordinances and policies to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't print it, but I did see the email.
You did?
Yeah.
Anybody have any that they think needs to be added?
Well, is this the list of the ones we've made notes on? Is that what this is?
Yeah.
The things we said during the year?
Okay,
we should address that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the one that I had a question about was Class 6 roads to Class 5, East Bergamo, Reinhardt Place, Grenville. So are we actually adding Grenville Way?
Well, a gentleman sent in a, I have correspondence
that
he was,
yeah.
So that's why he added it to the list.
Is that an ordinance or is that a...
That's a warrant article.
That'd be a warrant article.
I broke it down to policies.
Warrant articles, policies.
Oh, I did. Okay.
Yeah.
I just got it open. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
That was yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's see, we are jumping down to lead and copper test results.
So what are the next steps on this? Are we going to then...
Yeah, so I'd like everyone, the three commissioners, to take a look at these.
Okay.
And then start to put together things that they remember, things that they believe. You know, read the documents first, obviously, and see if there's any weakness in them just contextually. And then with some of the issues that we've had, we may want to be able to change. I sent a picture yesterday from the mailbox area. Somebody's left an old tire leaning up against the mailboxes.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what's spawning the drop-off of vehicles.
$30 charge at the dump.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. People don't want to pay
$30. Yeah.
It looks like it's gone now. Kelly must have picked it up. But I'm sure somebody found it in the woods. It was all dirty. It didn't look like it just, somebody may have just found it in the woods and laid it there so that somebody else could
maybe
take care of it.
Maybe because the day is Saturday for cleanup.
Yeah, maybe one of the people building a house did it. But I think the thing is, I don't know if needs to be addressed in ordinance or do we need to maybe put signage up in some of our parking lots if it's continuous.
Yeah.
Or do we need a fine for that put in the ordinance? Like that's what you're asking, right?
$50 or something. Yep.
Well, I think in discussion about the security cameras, you know, how do you enforce something when there's no way to find out who violated the ordinance?
Right.
So maybe the camera at the Hutwell parking lot would not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Since we've got power there.
Yeah.
I remember this came up a few years ago with the prior board, and there were a lot of discussions, as I recall. But about privacy issues and whatnot. So it'd be an interesting discussion to have in a hearing.
Unfortunately, well, parking lot, there's no personal property.
Right,
you're not looking at somebody else's...
I know, but people were just like, they were thinking about the beach. I guess the beach is the same. There were just issues about it, I know people had, but whatever. It's going to be an interesting discussion to have.
Okay, so is there a thing that, like, security at Hutwell parking lot? It's kind of got security.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what is our day toll to get back next week? Do we want to go through these and discuss which ones are changes? Do you want to be ready for that next week, or do you want to...
Yeah, I think we should. Obviously, this is huge. A public hearing on this many would be an all-day event. So if we could just try to focus on those that are most pertinent, timely.
Well, it's not that many. These are not all the different policies, right? These are the issues.
Yeah.
That's what I was told to keep it running.
Maybe even jot down what the ordinance change should be.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's, you know, the length of time in the parking lot, whether it's the water, the refund of the $8,000 water fee, those kind of things.
Oh, I didn't put that on there. Oh, yes, I did, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if the district spends money, we give them back the $8,000 less...
Mm-hmm.
Any of the costs that we had incurred.
Yeah.
And you said like up to $1,500 or something. So at least put down the detail what that the suggested changes could potentially be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do that.
All right. And I believe we passed the lead and copper results.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So we had a difficult time getting in touch with the property owners of the list of properties that came from DES.
Yeah.
Should we now try to get that list altered so that we know that those addresses will pertain to full-time people?
Well, Donna had reached out to Holly, who's the lab technician at the Granite State Analytical.
Yeah.
And she says it's there is a process, it's paperwork intensive, and it's very difficult. But I think going forward, knowing who the people are, the 16 that were on the list, we should try to just get their contact information so that when this happens again next year, we have an easier communication process to them.
Okay.
It was difficult, and even though there were, you know, we had great participation for those that did participate, but to be honest, I dropped bottles off at certain homes and people just forgot. You know, the first thing that they're supposed to do is fill the bottle without running the water anywhere else that morning.
Mm-hmm.
But some people are so focused on that coffee, they go in to get the coffee first. Oh, darn it, I forgot. So anyhow, it took a while to get the bottles, but we got them all.
I can reach out to Holly and ask what she recommends because of being a vacation.
Because DES provided the list of we want, you know, samples throughout the district, which makes sense. They don't want them all from people on the same street. But if there was a way to explain to them that these people don't even, like the Hendersons, don't even, not that they're one of them, but as an example, they're never even here, ever.
Right.
It's all rental.
Yeah.
So, all right. So just because before we know it, we'll be doing this again next year and running into the exact same problem.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Water system electric usage and the usage costs. Did you send it out as a attachment? I don't think I saw it.
I saw it as a 91A. Did it go out as a 91A?
No. This wasn't part of a 91A, was it?
Last month was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought I did. I will send it out.
Okay.
Okay.
I do remember seeing it. I looked at it and it went out of the night.
And last.
Wow. Last year, this was all over the map. We're more consistent this year. Now, I'm seeing an increase in the costs. We have three more months to go. And last year we totaled $26,064 electric usage. And currently, with 3 months left to go, we're at $22,827 at about an average rate of just under $3,000. So it looks like we'll exceed last year's cost now. I believe there's enough money in the budget. But the other thing to note, I'm going to pass this out to you too. The other thing to note is that this pandemic has caused some changes to the demographics, which people are really struggling to understand. There have been a lot of people who have homed these second homes who have actually moved here full-time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of houses have sold that were second homes and have become full-time. It's happening throughout a lot of New Hampshire as people vacate the big cities. So I don't know what the impact is going to be to Idlewise. I wish I had a crystal ball. Because, again, there's something that Paula continually points out. We need to look forward to this.
Good morning.
Oh, hi. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, all.
Yeah, we're just finishing up on some electrical usage on our water system, Chris.
Yep, I'm here. Okay, thank you.
Also, we've got a lot of new homes.
Yeah, we're adding about seven homes this year. Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're two-thirds in what we discussed last week. So
yeah. We're
right where we should be. The question will be what happens this fall with the money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what was budgeted was $30,000. That's the site.
I'm looking at the water. Mm-hmm.
So that would strictly be under the water budget.
Oops, don't add up. Oh, I'm sorry, they do.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
But knock on wood, we haven't had any major water leaks, so that's good news.
Yeah, we're in good shape on the water budget overall.
Yeah.
Just speaking of water leaks, I just want to touch base with the admins. Have we heard anything on that property that has a water leak underneath the crawl space? I
haven't heard back since.
Okay, we did send him a card. And when was the date that we asked that to be corrected? October,
I think it's
November?
November 1st, wasn't it?
Okay,
something like that.
Keep an eye on that one. Okay. All right, Chris. We got Chris Albert on the line from Jones and Beach. So, Chris, I'm going to jump right over to you and give you the microphone so you can talk about the status.
Thank you. Good morning. Again, Chris Albert from Jones and Beach Engineers. I just forwarded Dawson's schedule. Sorry for the delay. They gave it to me in a weird format a couple of days ago, and she had it converted over to a PDF. But just to give you, later on when you have a chance, you can print that out. But just to give everyone an update, we're having a site walk punch list tomorrow morning to go over the roads and the tank site just as far as that site work so we can develop that punch list. And in their schedule, they're really looking at everything to get done, in the month of October. They're going to start the service final cleanup the beginning of November with final paving, and it looks like they'll be done and gone around Thanksgiving. They did get the pressure testing done a couple of days ago, so the lines all did pass the pressure test. They had E.J. Prescott come in and as a third party to conduct the test. So once I get those results back from E.J. Prescott, I'll submit that to the district and to Rick Skorenka. I did send you a revised disbursement number 3. I inadvertently included the Lee Carroll electrical invoice twice that Rick's picked up on. And then it was $630 for the drainage calculation time that we did for the culverts, for the one down on the one road that he kind of kicked back. So that's been revised down a couple of grand from just the extra fluff. And then he wanted just a cleaner copy. The problem is, you know, when we do all these pay recs back and forth and they get signed and emailed and scanned and they kind of lost clarity. So if you see that the first page is kind of a blow-up of Dawson's pay rec that he wanted just so he could actually read the numbers a little bit better. I have to try to get them on the next one to try to do the stamped, the certified one, maybe as a larger font in the Excel spreadsheet, because that's the way it comes with me with the signatures. Again, you know, we're probably, you know, 2 months delayed because of, you know, COVID-19 and just the work between DN Tanks and Dawson's. But again, you know, we had next year to finalize everything, but it looks like we're in pretty good shape to at least get the new water system up and running before, you know, before winter hits. And then, Jay, thank you for making tomorrow's meeting at 7. I appreciate it. Just so like to get everyone to walk together and so we're all on the same page and kind of end up get all the abutters happy with the different pictures and emails that Donna and Lynn have been sorting through over the last couple of weeks, and to make sure that, you know, the rocks are removed and any loose pipe is gone and the ditch work and everything else is good for Kelly from that standpoint. So, you know, and then again, you know, we can look at as far as we still have to look at doing that PRV pit up on the Lakeview side and decide, Jay, on how we want to do that for next year without kind of taking on too much at this point, because Ian and I were still, I got to grab Ian and kind of really walk that whole area and see, do we do two PRV pits or just replace the one that's there? I think it's a better bang for our buck to do two ones lower to kind of cut some of that pressure gradient down below. That's something that hopefully we can work on next year, or if that makes sense to you people. So that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, Jay, and kind of walking everything. And I guess I'll open it up for questions at this point.
Yeah, I'm just going to open up. I believe I'm going to tap on your schedule, Dawson's schedule. So
yes, sir.
With regards to the paving, with regards to the patch, now the pressure test has been done, so we go ahead and cover that trenched area with pavement for the patch. And will that occur this – obviously that will occur this year, but will we be able to get the paving in? I heard from Kelly there was discussion about some other device that needs to go underneath one of the roads where it's paved, and that even if we do pave now or within the next week or two, we would have to make a cut to install some device?
Yeah, that was kind of one of the issues that we talked about. It's the lower road below Reinike, not Bergdorf, I believe, off of Bristenstock. The actual tie-in is in the center of Bristenstock to tie that road in. So if we had, you know, in a perfect world, we'd be all done. But that's why we kind of, with the paving company, we looked at, you know, Brian Paving, and then I think they were happy to kind of not do it. But we would have had a patch in that area if they did do the overlay and then the patch afterwards. But, you know, the whole delay was the pumps for 8 weeks, but it looks like the electrical and plumbing will be done by the middle of November. And I guess with Kelly, is Kelly there today, or is he?
He's not. He's actually working on that Bergdorf culvert.
The Bergdorf, yeah. So he's working on that. But I don't know if Jay, you were in that correspondence, but I guess between Brian Paving and Kelly and everybody else, I guess it was a general conclusion just to leave the overlay on the patchwork till next year, but I think Kelly was still going to do from the entrance by the playground up and get that done this year with some of his money just so he can get that money spent. But I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Yeah, so I spoke with him yesterday about it. So I guess, just so the other commissioners know, in case you don't already, it looks like we're going to push the paving of Burstenstock and the straight shot down of Aspen to Appenville, which was all covered. That $34,000 was covered by the grant money. And part of the contract, yeah.
37.
That's going to be pushed out till next year.
Really? Okay.
Because they have to do this additional cut at the intersection of Adelboden. Yeah, it is Adelboden and Burstenstock.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, make that connection.
Okay.
Now, with the $17,000 that we have in the budget, the operating budget for paving this year, Kelly is going to continue with that work from, I believe, it's somewhere around 20...
So where Bryant would have stopped, he's going to start there and do his half and then wait and let Bryant
and
be there under the project part portion.
Yeah, come down Aspen to that Jungfrau intersection.
Okay.
That's still on.
Okay.
The one we authorized last week.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So with regards to the warrant article, obviously that is extended into next year anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to make sure that legally, if we have to encumber those funds, that we do so properly, get that paving done for next year. Can you just take that note?
Toward the end of December, our last meeting, we'll look at all the warrant articles and if they're underspent or overspent, to figure out how we're going to do that, and then if we have to encumber them for next year, we can do that also.
Well, actually, possibly sooner than that, because if there are warrant articles that we're not going to exercise this year, and I think we talked about Idlewise Drive, it was $5,000 for shimming.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not going to exercise that, we either have to decide, are we going to encumber the money for next year? I think we know that we're not. So that goes back in the unassigned fund balance. That then helps determine what the tax rate will be, which we have to determine actually very, very soon, next 2 or 3 weeks, if we can ever get a hold of it. All right. Okay. Okay, so Chris, thanks for that clarification. And I think Ian had sent an email in, I don't know if you saw it, that he's going to try to make tomorrow's meeting at 7.
Oh, yep, I did, yep.
Yeah. And Kelly, I think, said he would try, all depends on how far he gets today, but I think what he's trying to do is get that road opened up today so that maybe he can join us tomorrow morning at 7.
Yeah, I mean, it should, you know, from the road portion, we should be able to just kind of do that quickly, you know, half an hour, just so he can get back if for some reason he's not done. But and then, you know, then you and I can probably spend more time up at the tank site itself to make sure, you know, you're kind of comfortable with the rock placement that they're working on right now. They should be almost done tomorrow, so we're kind of timing that whole situation and as a good timing for us, you know, for kind of a punch list on that. And just so for the Ryan Ike Circle, our surveyors are working on the research for that whole circle. We're coordinating with HEB, who had done the one boundary survey. We've worked with them quite a bit, so hopefully we should be able to get their file. So I'm trying to combine the kind of survey aspect of trying to find out where Ryan Ike Place actually is with the as-built work. So, you know, we're kind of combining the work to minimize extra costs for you guys. And then they're going to pick up the ledge probes that were done on the other street.
Yeah.
That'll probably happen, you know, maybe next week or the week after.
Okay. And I had a quick question for you, Chris. Not sure where in the contract it is discussed, but the old tanks, the twin 30s we've been using some 50-odd years, is that's part of the contract to have those removed, right?
The front part of the building where that little bulkhead is, that's going to get removed. Well, we had it in there for the tanks just to be pumped and filled with sand.
Okay.
I mean, if they want to try to remove them, typically DES wants them at least filled with sand just so nobody puts their foot through it 50 years from now.
Right. Yeah, okay. Because I know somebody had mentioned to me, I think it was one of Dawson's guys, that they were going to try to remove the tanks. I don't know if they were going to try to scrap the metal or what.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to them. I mean, it's, you know, it's some of that stuff, it's more of a, pain to get at and trying to keep the cost down. The one I did and a couple other jobs, they were able to salvage the tank and sell it for scrap steel. So it's, I guess it's really an option for them and for you, Jay, to discuss. But we, the front building is, you know, that front little building that you walk into, that's going to get removed, and that grate, you know, that hole that you're in right there, that gets filled in. So you are going to have the emergency spillway swale that kind of runs in front of it. But again, if we're starting to see water from the overflow, then that's an issue anyway. But I usually would try to do a tank and have the overflow as in, so you can actually see it. Some people like to hide it, but I'd rather, if there's an issue, I'd like to be able to see the issue. But we're going to have enough horns and alarms and whistles anyway that we should know before it starts overflowing anyway.
Okay. All right. And just one question, because we're going to be discussing this with a resident just in a few minutes here. But in the contract, there was a section about laying pipe on ledge. And it appears that there's a diagram showing that you can lay pipe on top of ledge with 6 inches of sand underneath and a certain amount on top, as long as you put 2 inches of foam on top of that. The pipe has to be at least 3 feet down from the surface. And we sort of have a general rule here in Idlewise is that we go to 6 feet. And
yeah, I think we changed that and went to 5 feet on that.
I saw the 5 feet, and that was on that was where there was no ledge, and but where there was ledge, it allowed for the pipe to be only 3 feet down beneath the surface as long as it was embedded in sand and had 2 inches of foam. And I know Ian certainly does not like that, but I guess my question is, what are your feelings on that?
Let me find it. Are you talking in as part of our project or just in general?
Well, it's in the contract, and I guess the question that was raised last week is, do we have any pictures or documentation in regards to that field change order when we moved the water main on Aspen from one side of the road to the other? Are we confident that the pipe is down 6 feet? Are we confident that it's in a sand bed and was, you know, put in to those degrees? I don't know that, and I was wondering if anybody reached out to you to get that information.
I'm looking right now. So we have the new water line. I think we only went to 5 instead of 6 feet. We just went to 5 feet. So we didn't do anything at 3 feet. That was something that was in the draft early on that Ian balked at, so we changed that. So everything has been hammered down to that 6 foot depth.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't, you know, it wasn't worth, you know, like I said, the ledge turned out to be, you know, where we wanted it as far as not being a major extra. So, I mean, they strive to keep it at that 6 foot depth. So they didn't need the new any insulation because, you know, with the weather you guys have with the frost, especially where you're in a roadway situation, they wanted that depth.
Yep. Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure.
You know, to me, the biggest thing you have to worry about with frost is, you know, Is it out in the woods with forest stuff, or is it under a paved surface? You know, that paved surface is going to drive that frost down. You know, most areas, and it depends on what the snowpack is. Snow's the great insulator. But, you know, if you get a lot of rain, that's going to help drive the frost down in cold weather.
Yeah.
But, you know, 2 inches of insulation, that's equivalent to, you know, probably 20 to 30 degrees of temperature difference.
Yep.
So that does. I mean, I've designed water lines on bridges, and we just across the bridge, and it just only has 2 inches of insulation around it. But you know, the key with any of those type of situations, the water's always flowing.
Right.
So if water's always moving, like a regular river in the wintertime, it's never going to freeze.
Yeah, because we do have a service line hookup to a new home under construction. And if that home sits idle for any amount of time, that pipe right now is only at 2 feet below surface. That'll be an instant freeze-up this winter because it'll be under
yep.
the exposed road that'll be plowed. Yep. All right. Anybody have anything for Chris? Any questions for Chris? Commissioners?
Nothing.
Okay. So we're on schedule to meet tomorrow morning. Well, Chris, where do you want to meet, by the way? Where do I want to meet?
I think probably just the tank is probably the easiest as a rendezvous port point. I was going to send an email out to everybody just to, let's meet at the tank and how we kind of maybe break up. If Kelly comes up, maybe we jump down on the roads first so he can move on type of thing. But at least we can leave the vehicles up, by that access point by the tank.
Okay. All right, that'll be perfect. All right, I'll bring my mud boots.
Why, I don't think it should be too muddy. Did you guys get a lot of rain yesterday?
Not a lot, but I was down at the Bergdorf Kalvich site and there was plenty of mud. That's for sure.
Oh, okay. We didn't get any rain at my house. A lot of wind last night, but no rain.
Yeah. Okay.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Thank you. See you tomorrow. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. We went over the water system electrical usage and electric costs. Let's jump right to the minutes. Okay. So we have the minutes of 9/29, September 29th, and they've been revised on October the 7th?
Yes.
Okay. I'll start with those first. And do I have a motion? I'll make a motion that we approve the revised minutes of 9/29. The revision was done on October 7th last week.
I'll second that.
I'm sorry, it was revised yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh, is this the revision that you did?
I think there was...
Yes.
I'm trying to remember, what was the comment in there?
About Chris.
Oh, okay.
Right. Red.
It sounded like automatically all that was going to happen. He just suggested that if we choose to go forward with Chris, he could get the information and to his new office.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a good change. Yeah. I'll just depict what that change is.
Okay.
And I believe it's in the brackets here?
Yep.
Okay.
I do it in color at my house, unfortunately. You don't have a color printer.
We don't have a color printer. Yeah.
Something that we will need to put together. So this is referring to Chris. He will continue to work for Jones and Beach as a subcontractor until the project is complete. Then he could continue working for the district on his own as a water system engineer.
Right.
So just so folks know, Chris Albert has stepped down from Jones and Beach and is starting his own firm. So that's something that we have to consider going forward.
Right.
And so all in favor of the revision, say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
So put that one. And then we got the minutes from October the 1st, 2020. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of Thursday, October 1st, 2020. Second.
I don't want to change this. I don't think this is a good use of time, but I'm just direction to Lynn as she starts to take the minutes. Because there's one thing, for example, to Paul Doyle, she would have the audit RFP for next week's meeting. Actually, I had it. It was done. I sent it to these guys. I said we'd discuss it this week. I don't want to make a change.
Okay.
I don't want to go through a revision. Okay. It's fine the way it is.
Well, I had a couple things.
I think my thought is just, once again, really start thinking about how much detail. I don't think we need a lot of detail in these minutes.
I agree. I
think it should be like, audit came up, we'll discuss next week. That's all you have to put, we don't need to know what everybody...
Okay. Well,
you didn't on this one.
Kind of to the same point when, like it says, discussion on 29 Little Lou. But put down at least what it was, driveway, drainage, water line hookup. So at least, because there was a couple I couldn't remember what the issue was. So we could at least put down what the topic was relating to that property would be helpful.
Okay.
Now, on 10-1 meeting minutes, you talked about 8 Edelweiss Drive, and it says that there's going to be a complete shutdown. And I would change that to road closure because people would think that the water system is being shut down, that the whole district is going to be shut down for that water line hookup. So I would just change complete shutdown to road closure, which will be Idlewise Drive road closure. Okay, and then further on down, it talks about me talking about getting in touch with Norm Garside, and it sounded like having to do with a quote for the Muddy Beach Pump House, and it wasn't. It was for Summit. It was to put a mezzanine, get the old insulation out.
I thought that was Muddy Beach. I'm sorry. That's my
mistake. Okay, that's for the warrant article for Summit Pump House.
Oh, that's my mistake.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also there was a comment about raising in the chemical room. Ian talked about raising the tank, or I did, and a grate, not a grade. It's a grate. He wants a stainless steel grate underneath that chemical tank. And then there was discussion about 32 Lakeview. It should be 32 Upper Lakeview. I was asking for a water hookup. That's on Upper Lakeview. And then I wrote down, it said 23 Little Loop discussion, and I didn't know what the discussion point was. So if we could kind of just add that little bit of information in there.
Okay.
All right. With those changes, we can approve the minutes.
Yeah, I'll vote yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll make the motion. Kathy, second. And paint color for pump house.
Pump house?
Yeah, the pump house is Dave Ian's
worker
came into the office yesterday and wanted to know we had the paint color names for the pump houses because they have to
patch them.
Yeah,
repaint some of the area.
I had no idea where.
Which pump house?
Yeah, which one?
Because Summit's red and Core View is
beige,
I think, or tan.
Yeah, I have no idea. He just asked if we had the paint colors. I said I haven't the foggiest of where.
No,
I don't even know where they bought.
I know
the
Kelly's
paint.
Got some paint stored.
No, they don't.
That's
because
a big
that
thing.
All got cleaned up.
Okay.
Is he asking because he wants to paint the new console?
Not the new one. No, I don't.
The Core View.
One of them they did. Yeah, maybe
they took some old equipment off the outside of the building, so it must have left a bare spot.
No.
On Chicor View.
No, I saw there was work done on the cabana for the new tower, but
that's not us.
They've already patched it and painted it.
But that's not Ian. That's
not
Ian.
I would say Chicor, because that's the only one they were working on.
Yeah.
They put some holes through the walls, yeah.
Yeah, or they took some old equipment off.
Did they try to match it and paint it?
Yeah, just take a piece off and bring it to the... You have a color match done.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we have any paint.
We had any, even where we bought it, they might have a record. So.
Yeah.
I'll let them know.
All right. And we're going to jump to accounts payable. Payroll first. And we have $6,125.30 for the past 2 weeks' payroll. When you're ready, Lynn.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So the week of 9/25, Kelly Robitel put in 40 hours. And for the week of 10/2, October 2nd, Kelly put in 40 hours. For the week of 9/25, Jeff D. Martino put in 40 hours. And for the week of October 2nd, Jeff put in 40 hours. For the week of 9/25, Tony Eldridge put in 24 hours, 3 days, which he usually does. And for the week of 10/2, Tony put in 24 hours. Worked Monday, Tuesday, skipped Wednesday, and worked Thursday. Okay. For the week of 9/25, Donna put in 26 hours. And for the week of 10/2, Donna put in 24.5 hours. For the week of 10/2, Lynn Baker put in 17 hours. And the previous week, Lynn was out on medical leave. For the week of 10/2, Gina Murphy put in 2 hours. For the week of 9/25, Gina put in 3 hours. Make a motion to approve that payroll for $6,125.30. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to jump to... So we got a water project manifest this time. One big check.
Oh, okay. That's...
Okay, so for the water project, we have one check going to DN Tanks. This is the final payment?
It's the final big payment. We just have the retainage.
Yeah.
And this is the check that we voided from last week because we didn't take it out of the retainage. That it was, the 3% was due back to them.
Yep, mm-hmm. Okay. So we have the amount of this is $178,889.95. I'll make a motion that we approve that amount to DNN Tanks.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Kathy. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. So now on the next line, it says Dawson retainage. It should be DNN Tanks. Let's change that on the agenda.
Okay, and that amount is $13,214.05, and that will be the amount going into the retainage account.
No,
that's going to DN Tanks.
I mean, out of the retainage. So what they did is, on substantial completion, we refund the retainage amount, and we hold 2% of the total
for a year. Okay.
So there's $7,776 left in the retainage account.
Okay.
So they're getting that part of it that we withheld, which was 50% of the was 10% of the first half.
Yep. Okay. And I just asked our admin for clarification here, so I'm just to sign here.
This is a temporary check because we didn't have checks awarded.
Right.
So,
two of us will have to sign in, and the treasurer.
Yeah, so just kind of squeeze the signatures in where you can. It didn't make sense to order a book of checks for two checks.
Yeah. I'm going to pass these checks to Kathy for signature for those on the phone. You can't see it.
I said
I have
my
demand.
Do you
need me? Yeah. Let me sign above Jay, and then Dinah can sign on the edge.
So, Dinah, if you have time today to come down and sign some checks. Yes, which one, the retainage?
I can do that.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Dinah.
Do you need to second that?
Yeah. Okay, all in favor of the retainage amount of $13,214.05, say aye.
Aye.
Yes. Okay, and we have five checks for the operating budget manifest for a total of $3,667.49. So we have a check for, actually, Linda, I'll let you read it off.
First one is for Eversource, the amount of $1,650.47. Analytical, $559.
Was that the lead and copper?
Yes, so.
Granite State Analytical.
The bacteria, that was for the...
Oh, bacteria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we getting from? Is it just acetylene?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the monthly plus every 5 years we have to pay for the lease of the tank. So that's in
It's normally like $14 or $15. It's usually a very small amount.
It's usually 24 something.
Yeah.
But this is the for the two things is the 5 year lease.
Yep. Okay, so do we have any details on what modern pest?
Yep, it's on the end.
Yeah. So what do they do? Where do they sit there?
That's the lodge.
That lodge.
We treat the exterior to protect against crawling and stinging insects. Inside, they found insulation and dead carpenter ants in the function room. We made dust applications into the voids in the ceiling the insulation was falling from. We are always looking to improve our services. So.
They found a lot of entry points around the lodge.
I was going to say, they're like a... insect hive in there, and then you can see where the mice are eating the foam insulation in the ceiling. It's just dropping on the floor.
Is that downstairs?
No, that's upstairs in the main room.
Is that ceiling wood?
Yeah, but it's the cracks between the wood.
They put like foam insulation up?
Yeah, the mice get up in between the shingles.
Well, I set some traps in there.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, why the bird's getting in there.
You're never going to keep the mice out, but like, if you trap them, eventually, some years ago.
I don't think it's a space up there. It's a like the chalet roof, and then they put foam board and then board, and there's no gap. I don't think there's any place up there to put. There's no access up there.
It's not going to get up.
Well, the mice can get up there, but
they burrow their own tunnel.
Yeah.
We don't know where they're starting.
Right.
I'm sorry, I just
want to
find traps somewhere in the lodge, maybe. They could be around.
Yeah, you know those black boxes that you see sometimes at Home Depot?
Yeah.
They go in, they can't come out. Those are up there, but there's a lot of dust on them. I don't know if they've ever been empty.
I use those ones, the clip ones, the plastic ones.
Mm-hmm.
I can catch 5 in the night. And then I get rid of them, that's a family, and then maybe a week later... Like, I've had bad years and good years. One year I caught 25 in a month, 2 months. And then I never had any for the rest of the winter. Last year I had zero. But you can get rid of them. And the traps work. If you can find any turds anywhere, you should display a trap there. You'll get them.
Yeah.
If you just put some peanut butter or some of that stuff, they sell with them. I have got a lot of mice. The traps work. Pretty well. I don't have any. It's just an option if we really think. I think it's not a bad idea to try to keep them.
Doing damage. I mean, they get into if they
doing
get
damage again in electric. I think
we
it's
have
worth
one more.
Buying some
Did you
traps
do Silver Lake
at Lowe's and setting them at Home Depot.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Silver Lake.
I don't. And those are the ones I personally have had most luck with, and other people
those
have talked
ones,
to. But you know, I think we should ask Kelly to set some traps up there.
On the manifest, I was waiting, and I hadn't gotten it by the time I left yesterday. The check for New Hampshire Retirement, the approval for me to run the voucher. I was wondering if I could have that signed out of session just so we don't get the delayed date.
Okay.
If you can make a motion to approve that, that's...
Did we make a motion to sign the operating budget manifest?
If we hadn't, I'll make that motion. $3,667.49.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
So going back to you have a check for the retirement?
I don't have the amount yet because I have to get the email from the retirement. And they run it, and I didn't get the email before I left yesterday. So I just don't want to pay a late fee. If it can be signed out of session and we can bring it up, next week.
Yeah, and this is the monthly payment.
The monthly, the
11% of the previous month's payroll, so it's
so
not a...
I'll make a motion that we approve the check for the New Hampshire Retirement System and sign out of session as long as it, and if you could just inform us of what the normal amount is usually, as long as it doesn't exceed tremendously.
It's a fixed 11% of the payroll.
What is it, what is it normally?
6,
12,
2,200?
Just around 2,000.
Yeah, just under 2,000.
Okay,
I think it's like 17
for
some reason.
Up to, as long as it doesn't exceed
2,000. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll make that motion. Do I have a second? And all in favor say aye.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioners' reports. 29 Oak Ridge. So I think everyone saw the email that I sent out. I did speak with the contractor for that property. They informed me that, yes, when they purchased the property and cleared it years ago, they actually went for a variance and received that variance to have the setback closer to the road. Unfortunately, what they didn't realize is that that variance runs out after 2 years. So they're now in reapplication for that variance. They will be meeting with the Madison Zoning Board on October the 21st to seek approval of that variance from the setback. They're not allowed to do any further construction or excavation for the foundation. That's where that is.
Now, is it the same people, or did they sell the lot?
I think it's the same people, but they're obviously developing or building a home for someone, a buyer that they already have.
And they're selling it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a huge...
It was Leonard Builders, I believe, that owned the lot and sought the variance.
So Leonard, okay.
But the homeowner is...
Now the new homeowner, so there is a new homeowner, but I guess Leonard Builders is now doing the building for them.
Leonard got the variance initially.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
And he owned the land.
And he owned the land.
And then he sold the land.
Yeah. And thought that the variance would go with it.
Which it would have, but it had expired no matter
what.
Expired,
right.
I mean, they're really close to the road, Jay.
Oh, I know.
Our setback is 65 from the center of the road,
yeah.
And they're like 40.
Yeah. My concern is where they're going to park their vehicles, and if they go straight in and perpendicular with the front of the house, if their bumper is almost touching the house, their rear bumper will be very close to the...
It'll probably be on idolized property if the road is 40 feet wide.
Right across from the greenhouse.
It's a little further down, but not by much.
Yeah.
I mean, do we have any reason to go to the variance board and as, 'cause we're in a butter.
Yeah. Did we receive notification?
I thought you mentioned that because we're in a butter, we would be notified. Do we have any...
that we haven't received notification to attend the public hearing. Bob Boyd did call me back on the subject and explain the same thing that the builder had.
Even if they can go 10 feet out. I mean, this will be 65 feet from the center, and they're 20 feet encroaching in on the setback.
I'll have to look into why we were not notified.
So
I guess to Kathy's point, does the board have a position?
Well, is there a driveway permit that we approved?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is there room in the driveway for a car?
If the house is here and the car is parked like this, the back of that car is literally over the edge of the pavement.
Why did we approve the driveway permit then if there wasn't enough room to park the car keeps out of the road?
Is what we're responsible for is approving that right-of-way over the district's property, which is off the edge of the pavement.
The cut into the road.
Where they put their driveway on their own property, that's up to them. But, of course, as you know, there is no place. Unless they build a suspended, and I've seen it done, a suspended deck, and cars actually sit out on them.
What's the planning?
We're not
supposed to see if there's a meeting schedule.
Yeah, zoning board of appeals.
It's 10:21.
ZBA.
Oh, it's 10:21.
Yeah, 10:21. 7 p.m. But I'm
I mean, do you remember them getting a variance for that property? That would have been, you said, what, 4 years ago?
So did somebody want to go to that meeting? And
that was 20...
objection?
They gave us a year 2014, somewhere around there, that they received the initial variance. So, I don't know.
I'm just curious why they even gave them the variance. I mean, financial hardship is generally not a reason to give a variance.
Yeah.
And that would be the only hardship, is it would cost them too much money to build 65 feet from the road.
Right. And I think probably they use the other properties in the area that are all non-conforming to the 65 feet.
Well, that's the whole reason we put the ordinance in, right?
Right?
Is because it was problematic to have
right.
the houses too close to the road,
yeah.
or so close to the road.
Yeah.
Does somebody want to go to the meeting and object?
Well, we would have to make a motion here to object to the variance, and for whatever reason, because that reason would be asked at the meeting. We don't have the driveway permit here.
Now, do we can still object even though we're not maybe technically listed as an abutter?
No, we are an abutter.
As the road?
Legally, yeah.
Well, the filing was, did we even notify it? December 29th was the filing deadline. December 29th. It's now October 8th. It's only been a week.
Yeah, and we'd be notified by certified mail.
Yes, probably
haven't gotten
to it yet.
Yeah.
Wouldn't notify somebody like the town clerk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's been.
Okay, so maybe it's in the mail.
But even if we're not notified as an abutter, we can still object as a resident of the community.
Oh, yeah, it's a public hearing, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So by next week, we should make a decision.
All right.
If we want
okay.
to. Let's see if we get a letter this week.
Yep.
And if we don't get a letter, we should also inquire as to why we didn't get a letter.
Yeah. That could be reason right there to actually hold up the hearing and recess it till another month.
Yeah, I mean, is there a certain amount of notice they have to give us?
Yes. If they accidentally forget to put in a butter on their mailing list.
No, but do they have to notify us like 10 days before the hearing?
I don't think there's a certain amount of time, except
okay.
you know, probably 2 days prior to the meeting would be reasonable.
Well, let's
okay. I mean, I just think that just by saying, oh, we should let them do it because everybody else did it, and ignore
right.
the fact that the 65 feet was put in for that exact same reason.
Right.
And, I mean, that's a steep hill. It's not like it's a nice, flat, open road.
Mm-hmm.
Visibility is terrible on that
mm-hmm.
corner.
Yeah.
I mean, for all the reasons that additional setback was implemented is exactly that reason.
Yeah.
And for them to kind of just...
Yeah, just for the two of you, if you're going to go and look at the property, and I suggest you do this before. Drive by every day. But look at the property, and the driveway will be to the left side of the property, the uphill
mm-hmm.
side.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know.
Yeah, I knew that's where they put the grade stakes.
Yeah, and they've been taken down since, but that's where.
Anyway, I have a hard time just letting it go because
yeah.
I think that the Madison Planning Board should be more respectful of the ordinance.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that it's a steep lot, well, it's always been a steep lot.
Yeah.
It was a steep lot when he bought it.
Yeah.
So, okay.
All right. And Granville Way reclassification. Bill.
That was correspondence. That's the gentleman that...
Is this recent? I know there was an attempt last year.
I don't remember if I forwarded that or not.
Oh. Let me, so the other commissioners know. Hello, Don and Lynn. I hope all is well and you're having a good day. Could you please tell me if the Granville Way has been, will be, upgraded from a Class 6 road to Class 5, and if the DPW will be plowing it this year? It's not a big stretch of roadway. Wouldn't take the DPW much extra time. I know a few of us who live on Granville would very much appreciate it. Thanks in advance for any assistance you can give with this matter. So,
is this the one that came up last year at the town meeting?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No, it didn't get approved, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We did tell him. I said that would probably be a warrant article if you wanted to bring it to the board.
Yeah,
but they did last year, and it got voted down.
They said they can bring it back again this year, I would assume.
Yeah. It'd be nice if some of them that were in favor of it would show up at the meeting to speak in favor of it.
Well, the problem is that Kelly can't turn around. Isn't that a dead end?
That's the problem. And
yes, it's a short section, but it's a dead end. So yeah. Poor Kelly. I mean, he can't do a 57-point turn in the end of that road.
Right.
So whoever wrote that, you could tell them, yeah, no, it was a Warren article last year. It was voted down. If they'd like to go back and review the meeting video or the minutes, they can look at the minutes on our website. They can look at the video at Madison TV. I don't know if it's still there. I don't know.
Yep. Okay. He's not asking about, he's asking about this year.
The road hadn't been approved as a Class 5 road, so no, it won't be getting
I said if you have, send an email.
The security system for the office and garage, did everybody have a chance to look at, I was asked to reach out to one of the residents.
I thought that was helpful. Which one were you originally saying, ring or nest?
That was the ring. I was looking at the ring.
He was suggesting. He's recommending a nest.
Yeah.
I just put a ring camera in.
You did?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I have a different brand, but yeah.
Do we know how much the nest is?
I think Ring and Nest are very similar. They're on par competitively.
Yeah. So the suggestion that was brought up was the third camera. Instead of having the third camera so that we could watch Donna and Lynn, we're at work all the time, was to put it in the stairway. And I'm thinking, well, you're not going to get past the doorbell unless it's you, one of us three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really it, just the three commissioners.
I don't think there's ever been an issue with people getting into the stairwell.
Right. There's no other way, there's no window that they could go in through and then go up the stairs. So I don't know if there's really the need for the third camera.
No.
But the doorbell with the ability to speak to the person at the doorbell and converse, and then possibly press the release button to let them in. And then, of course, the camera out by the DPW garage. As Martin pointed out, there is a solar-powered one. There's also electricity in the garage of where I plan on putting the camera anyhow. So there's 120. And there's... this is cheap.
At the nest?
I remember having this discussion with Ron once separately. I think he seems to be really... all the people I've ever spoken to knows more about this than anybody.
Yeah.
So I would kind of take his recommendation.
Yeah, he's got all three of them set up in his house.
Yeah.
So he kind of has the best.
I think
should go in there. It's the funniest thing. You walk in, the lights go on, the coffee pot shuts off, and the TV, the whole thing is like the Jetsons
over there.
I
think we should go with the Nest.
And did you purchase something already for the front door?
No. Donna had told me about a sale period, which was around Labor Day. But at that time, then somebody else told me about another system, which is the Wyze, W-Y-Z-E, but that is not an outdoor system. So
We already approved the money for this?
Yep.
I think it was $500. Do we need to make a motion to go with which one we want to go with?
Well, we can do that and just make a motion on the brand.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants, I'll make a motion that we go ahead and purchase the Nest system for an exterior outdoor camera as well as the doorbell audio and video camera.
Now, do we want to look at getting a camera for Hutwile? You need internet, though. You need internet available.
Oh, yeah.
So you couldn't do it.
Second this motion.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Second that motion.
Okay, so Paul, you second it.
So you're just saying one camera and doorbell for the office. What the recommendation?
One camera for the garage and then the doorbell camera
for the main door.
Audio for the office.
Correct. Okay. That was the original budget. Okay.
Yes. So, but that's true. If we do something at Hutwile, we'll have power there, but we don't have internet.
Right.
So you have to have some sort of a mechanism to.
You'd have to have a camera with a SIM card and then check the SIM card every week or something. Or when it's prompted that somebody, the mischief that occurred down there.
That camper, somebody dropping that camper off, and we had no idea who did it,
we would have
been able to have record of that.
Yeah.
That driving camper is almost 6 feet.
The fifth wheel?
Yes.
No, not the fifth wheel, the other one.
Oh, the one that's back
there. Leprechaun.
Okay.
Leprechaun is the name of the brand.
So next week we should try that. If it's still there, we'll have to.
Yeah, I think I know who the owner is.
Okay, yep.
So who's going to do this? Is
DPW going
to do it, or are you going to do it?
I'll go do it.
Okay.
I've installed others. So.
Great. Okay. It's a lot. Yeah, they're good.
Is that something that can be ordered through our Amazon account?
Yeah, we could do that. Or
we can use our card.
We could do it through Lowe's. I believe Lowe's does Nest.
So no, I know Home Depot does it. They may both do it. Nest is owned by Google.
Right, right. I know. Yeah.
Or maybe
I know both do it.
And the admins had a question whether the app, which is their phone, works on both iPhone and Android, and the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so. That's one thing.
Yeah, and you can actually even do it on the computer. I took my laptop. And I downloaded the Ring app, so Nest would be the same way. So I can
I'd rather put it on the computer instead of my personal phone. Be honest.
Okay.
And voting booth for the annual meeting. Do you want me to reach out? Do you want me to reach out to Town Hall about that?
You did say you were going to last week.
Oh, okay.
Because last year, the voting booths were in the gym. At our annual meeting, we found the pieces of voting booths in the gym. We didn't have to go get them anywhere. They were there in their gym, in that room where all
the
tables were.
Yeah.
So I read her email saying they don't know anything about voting booths.
Maybe that person, whoever it was, doesn't know. That's probably just confirmed with somebody here that's where they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably there.
Are we talking about the one that looks like a shower curtain?
Yeah, it was just a booth that had a little table in it. And
compartments. Usually they're round.
Right, but did anybody...
Like four things or two things, yeah.
But did anybody go to the Madison to vote this past November?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You went inside?
Yeah.
And you saw it's a whole new setup.
I would notice it was different. Well, I mean...
Oh, yeah, it's totally new what they have.
I think there were
four in a kiosk.
Yeah, one of those.
It was a four-person kiosk.
Okay. Four
right. Maybe they threw all the other ones away.
That's what I'm thinking. So
they're probably stored somewhere at the school, and then whoever we contacted just doesn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I would just confirm that with the
Adam. Okay. I'll do that, Jay. You got enough. You're getting all of the assignments here. I'll check
it's not
with.
Urgent.
No.
It's plenty of time.
And Kathy. You get the grant reimbursement schedule?
Nothing new there. I just updated it, added the Bryant Paving as coming out of the contingency fund.
Yep.
So there was nothing new there. I just updated the spreadsheet, sent to the office, and they were able to distribute it to Mark and Dinah, and I don't know if David got a separate copy of that.
No, just Mark and Dinah.
Okay. And then the only other thing is I did get a chance to talk to Norm Garside, and he will contact Ian. He did remember giving us a price on putting a mezzanine at Summit. He's going to take out all that fiberglass insulation.
Yep.
He said that we've been talking about this for 20 years. We really should spray foam that, which is what Ian's consensus was. So his price will not include the actual spray foaming, but getting it prepared for that. And I do believe Ian's got somebody that he's used in the past that's very reasonable to do the spray foaming.
Yep.
So he's going to requote because the cost of lumber's gone up and prices have changed since last year. So just waiting to hear back from him, hopefully this week or early next week.
Okay. And Paula, your RFP?
Well, the RFP you guys were going to read, I don't...
Yep.
We can have Mark and David, since they're here, mm-hmm. I think cause that's going to be a link.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys had a chance to review it.
You guys mind starting early? Well, actually...
No,
I'm just looking at that clock. Battery's weak.
Want to ask about the... This is David R. I guess I put a request in for the invoices. David sent me what he got from the office on the invoices from the attorney.
Mm-hmm.
They appear to be obscured as to what the whole invoice isn't there. First question is, why was that done? Whose decision was that to do that?
That was mine. And before, there was an issue that I had sent attorney's invoice that shouldn't have been sent out because it should have been redacted.
Some of it should have been.
So
we had the attorney. We had contacted him a month or two ago. There was a 91A for legal bills, and we consulted with the attorney, and he redacted a couple of lines on a couple of the bills, confidentiality reasons, and he cited the, we can forward that note that he sent to us, mm-hmm. why he did that and what RFA he cited. That he
I have sent to all of you Supreme Court ruling that says what can be redacted off an attorney's invoice and what can't be redacted off an attorney's invoice. What happened to these invoices that were sent to David were they were not redacted. They were completely covered. Redaction means the text is there, but it's blacked out so you know what's redacted. When you cover things up and don't state that that's what you're doing, that's a whole different animal.
Mm-hmm. Now, they were the ones...
So we were going to go into non-public today to address that exact point, Mark, so that we can the three of us can look at what was on those invoices and if anything there would violate confidentiality or personal issues.
It's very simple.
Okay.
The file name, a subject matter,
yep.
it has to be on it.
Okay.
Yep.
Everything
okay.
else, anything that indicates a strategy, I sent this to you, anything that indicates a strategy or litigants or anything else can be removed.
Okay.
But you cannot remove what the case is about. We would like to know, for example, in this, how much money was spent on the Adam Leiser suit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can't send us what you sent us.
Okay. I didn't see what you sent in the end.
Yeah.
We had this a couple months ago, and the lawyer did the redaction.
Yeah.
And he only redacted a few. Like,
yeah, I just, didn't know the invoices I sent what the bills were and how much they were for.
Yeah.
That's my error. I'll take full blame. Now, that's why I wanted clarification because of your email coming in. So that's...
So after today's meeting, you'll
we'll
be able to...
look at it today. Mm-hmm.
So you're over budget on that line item.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And what were the contributing factors to that?
Okay.
What case?
Yep.
Can you say what they are now?
It was a lot of them.
I asked for this in September.
Well, some of it was...
and we never received that one. And I went through every part of the computer, and I did send that to David, and I answered as soon as I did Tuesday from last Thursday's email.
Okay.
Okay.
So what was the answer?
So the answer is a lot of things. There was still issues with Nancy's leaving the district. That was legal. That was probably December and into January with her health insurance and all of those issues. So some of it was that. There was some that had to do with poor Little Loop. There was, I don't remember if there's anything else major. Yeah, and we're going to look at them. And anything that should
so
be...
we're going to get all the invoices and what the case was.
So you could...
so
you
we
could,
know what case
yes.
what this amount of money
yes.
spent on it over time.
Yep, absolutely.
We'll
mm-hmm. Okay, we will get that to you.
And going forward, now I know, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Pipe test. Was a pipe test done on the Aspen Bristol Park?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You mean the pressure test?
Yes.
Yes.
And was that... is the piece of the pipe that was on back order from... it installed in the new pump room?
You know, I was trying to get...
it was a valve, really, more than a pipe,
yeah,
wasn't it?
There was E.J. Prescott did the pressure test this week.
You don't know, you know...
we don't know.
We don't know
the answer
but
to that.
They were able...
you don't know how they accomplished this, because last week you were telling me it can't be done.
Well, E.J. Prescott was brought in as a third party in order to accomplish it, because we didn't have... The mechanics weren't in place to do it with Dawson and DN Tank.
You told me the name of three agencies that said it can't be done last week.
Say that again?
I'd like to hear the recording of what you said to me last week when I asked. I was shaking my head when you were saying this can't be done. Obviously it can be done.
They said it could be done, Mark. I don't know. I don't remember what was said last week. Originally the way it would be done, they needed a valve, I think it was.
Yeah.
There was a piece missing. But then once they realized they weren't going to be able to get that in, needed to get moving because of winter coming and all the other stuff mm-hmm. that had to be done, they went to find another way to do the test. And they brought in
the
company who did it, and it was successful.
So your answers can be questionable or misleading. The pavement has been cut up on Aspen and Bristol Park. It's been cut by a spa.
Yeah.
Whose decision was that to have it cut at that time? It was left open all weekend. Imagine it's going to be left open. 2-inch cuts through the pavement, sharp edges were left.
Yeah.
No signage. People live there. Busy weekend. People are driving all over Idlewise like they do every year.
Mm-hmm.
Whose decision was it to cut the pavement and leave it that way?
That was the contractor, obviously, Dawson. I'm trying to see if I have notes as to when that patch is going to be put in place.
Yeah. Who's the project manager for the contractor?
Chris Albert.
So he okayed this?
We don't know.
I don't know if he okayed it.
So this project is not being managed correctly. The Aspen pipe installation. I sent you a copy of the drawing D1 that shows that they can put the pipe down 3 feet, put 2 inches of styrofoam over the top of the pipe. This is the design.
That was a question I brought up to Chris Albert this morning, knowing that you'd come in, and that this question was asked last week. And the answer that was received from Chris is that no pipe was put in on ledge with that foam. Everything was down, as he said this morning, 6 feet.
Last week I asked you if you had the pictures and the
right blog. Yeah.
There is that.
So I had asked Chris for that this morning.
Now Jay's meeting with him tomorrow morning.
So there was ledge in the area. So what you were told you were going to save $50,000 by not blasting through that area.
Mm-hmm.
But they put the pipe in and didn't encounter any ledge. The old pipe was, and it had a bleeder on it. You accepted a contract back in the spring, said that the contract, whoever the winning bid was, could lay a pipe down on the ledge and only have it down 3 feet, even though you had a contingency for ledge blasting.
So what Chris said was that was part of the original proposal, and our water operator balked at that. So they took that out. That was not allowed in the final contract bid package.
I asked for a copy of the contract with Dawson, and I got one section of it, which is the notification of contract. In that, it says the base contract has sections A1 through A12.
Okay.
So I did not receive a copy of the contract.
I saw that you had asked for that. Mm-hmm. I saw that last night. So I'm going to stop at the office after the meeting, and I don't know if that's included in the 321 pages of specs from Jones and Beach.
No, it's separate.
Or that's separate.
You're looking for A1 through 12, the bid sheet, and what the three prices were from the three contractors that bid on it?
I want to see the contract. I want to see that document that specifies exactly how everything's being done.
Oh, okay. Okay, that'd be the big
telling me that the drawing that was given to the contractor that shows he only has to go down 3 feet was overruled by the water operator.
That's what I understand, Chris.
That's what
on the website is the only representation as to how this is being done. Where is it that the contractor has something that says that he can't just put it down 3 feet? That would have to be in the total contract.
Yep.
You can't have something called Dawson's contract. Section B1.
Yeah.
Big canvas agreement, the big canvas document that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I went through the document you gave me last week, and I see that you're tracking money that you've already spent, but it doesn't have any detail about money you expect to be spending against the budget. Like, how much is it going to cost to get the data system? I think the abbreviation, it's only labeled as the PLC, which I would believe would be the program logic control.
Mm-hmm.
Programmable logic control. What is the cost of getting this data system installed? Along with that, is any electricity to that building? The conduit lying on the ground as if there's no underground electricity to that building. Nodding.
Yeah, I see the same thing. It looks like they're going to
put don't know whether there's electricity to that building yet.
I don't believe there is if the conduit's still laying on the ground. I can't get inside.
That's my guess, too.
Yeah, I can't get inside, but I'll probably get inside tomorrow when I do the site visit with Jake and...
So there are obvious costs left to be done up there, including I saw the document of the SCADA company, engineering company, 60-something pages. Do you know what the price is that they're proposing to put SCADA controls? I imagine they're putting all brand-new controls and not going to move the controls that we already paid for in the old building over to the new building.
Yeah, I believe we are getting all new controls with some additions.
They factored in $25,000 for EII.
That's the allowance on the original bid.
Yep.
It was done by the engineer.
Yep.
All contractors bid the same amount for that. They cut that from the engineer.
Yes, exactly.
What's the actual cost of the
company? Chris said under, I shouldn't say under, around $23,000.
You don't have a...
We don't have the quote. We don't have the detail for it, other than that document that you got with all the components listed.
And that obviously can't be done until electricity to the building.
Yeah, but they're installing some of that stuff now, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They're mounting it on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And in the tank.
Yes.
Okay. So, if I was doing this, I would have listed out how much money is being reimbursed by the contractor for things like Ian working on leaks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in this document at all.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a tight document about what's happening.
I think isn't Simply Water listed under the contingency section?
Paid, but not how much money has to come back from the contractor to reimburse the village for paying Ian, which I don't believe should have been done that way. I think Ian has a major conflict of interest by even working on this project for this contractor.
Mm-hmm.
You accepted that as okay, which you didn't. You're on record saying that?
I voted against that, yes. I brought it up at the bid meeting.
That's just wrong. And he's making determinations about what's happening on Aspen, and he works for the contractor. Do you know how much money he's making for this contract? One time you told me he was leaving at the end of his contract employment for the village contract.
Mm-hmm.
You said he'd be walking away with a ton of money. You have this conversation with them that he's leaving after this?
No.
So he has a conflict of interest with this project, and you have knowledge that he's leaving the contract with the village after this project. So
he stated he was very frustrated with the way things are going. I know.
You've got to protect the village yet.
Mm-hmm.
My last thing, in the comparison, the bid, in the comparison chart, that the engineer that you have on the website has all of the pieces of the contract. A5 is not even in that spreadsheet.
So what are you looking at, Mark? The between
three
Brooke,
contractors
Brooke,
bid on it.
Brooke,
one
Drew,
is
okay.
Completed on the left side and the
yeah.
right side of it.
Okay. Yep.
But across it all,
bid
A5 of the contract is not even on the spreadsheet, and I believe it's over $30,000.
Do you remember what the work was for A5? Was that the upper PRV, upper Lakeview?
I don't recall.
I think it might have been a valve. So, I mean, these are the professionals that you said you're relying on 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've had this for months. And they're supposed to be reviewing these contracts and tracking this money. Not even on it. So even as the bottom line is questionable because that line item is missing. Lastly, for me, is Nancy's agreement. You mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen Nancy's agreement, the agreement she had to sign?
I have, a long time ago, I glanced at it. I cannot review it. No, I one time I looked at it. I'm pretty sure.
So you know that was portrayed to the legislative body at the budget hearing as a social justice, give her $10,000.
I don't remember the exact words.
I'll send you the video of what was represented to the
mm-hmm.
legislative body that attended that as a pre-hearing of the budget to the annual meeting.
Right.
And what wasn't told to them was that she had to agree that she could never work for the village again,
mm-hmm.
that she could never volunteer for the village again. She couldn't even volunteer.
Right.
She lives there. It was portrayed as severance of social justice and in lieu of holding harmless, which is a bad phrase.
What was the last word?
Holding harmless.
Okay, yep, I remember that.
She also agreed to be gagged, that she couldn't say anything about what she knew about the village and what it happened, how it works and what happens. So I would like you to read that. I'm going to ask you what you think of it afterwards, and I'll send you the video so you can see how the commissioners, the previous board, portrayed that to a group that was asking serious questions about it. I want you to pay attention to the questions they asked and how those questions got answered. And then look at this agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's violated her constitutional rights. She was being given $10,000 when she was in dire straits. So I'm going to have, I'm going to ask you to look at that, and then I think that's outrageous. I think the legislative body has to know that that hearing was required by the state because RSA 32 was violated. And then when you see that agreement, you see how it was violated. It's outrageous.
Mark, I think I have the same concerns you do with respect to a lot of the project details. And in defense, it's not an excuse, but in defense of Kathy and I, who were commissioners at the time these details were hammered out, Paula was not on the board, so she has no responsibility in this. But Adam, former commissioner Adam Weiser, wanted that control, negotiated himself.
I'm going to interrupt you and say, were you attending on the phone the meeting of the 18th? It was the meeting where the supervisor of the highway department was saying that it's madness the way this village is being run. It was the meeting before Adam Weiser resigned, the administrator walked out of the meeting and the foreman was saying that she just quit. These people are continuing the meeting and they aren't even acknowledging the fact that she just resigned out of frustration.
I didn't.
And then he said,
the previous
woman broke out because of the way this board.
I do remember that.
You were at that? You listened to that meeting?
I think so, yeah. Maybe that, or I read about it later, but I do remember that.
I have questions as to why a project manager wasn't hired in the beginning, and after that, why a project manager wasn't hired to watch everything that's happened, and now listen to what you have to tell me.
Yeah. So a lot of these points were brought up, and I am only one of three votes. Mm-hmm. And so the concerns, some of them of which I share with you, I was outvoted. That's the way it works.
So the only thing Paula was involved with was actually signing the decision to go with the loan, the bond. Everything was done before
no.
she became
no,
done.
No, that was already done. Yeah.
To accept it.
Yeah.
That wasn't until you knew what the prices were on it, the bond was sold.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the final bond, not the bridge bond? I don't think, yeah, even
well, that's
the
another thing.
Bond.
The bridge loan information is on this document at all.
Oh,
also,
it's
not? Not that you say that.
Okay.
It's expense against the project. That's not on here.
Okay. That was $1,300? The bridge loan interest?
Anyway, I don't mean
okay.
to take
no, no.
this much time, but I'm going to
no.
be pursuing these details because the village has to operate a lot better than happening in the last 6 years. And the budget has to be tightened up. The law has to be followed. I'm going to put a lot of time into making sure the law is followed. Some of us have to be made examples of.
Well, we'll get to what you're asking for.
That for our main patient.
Okay. We appreciate you working with us and
documenting
yep.
everything that's happened
here. David, if you don't mind, I just want to go back. Mark had brought up, are we keeping track of the payments to Ian as a result of, and correct me if I'm wrong, leaks associated with the project.
Mm-hmm.
I call them water main
yeah.
breaks.
We went back
accidental breaks.
Kathy and I went back
yeah.
to the...
Yeah, so we definitely are
yeah.
keeping, because I
yeah.
that is in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
That the
yeah.
right we that's been separate because we didn't expect
well,
any
no, no,
water main accidents.
No, they're on there. If you look at Simply Water on the last column, I think, or the last row of that back page, it says Simply Water. There's a $650 one, a $1,200 one. There's three or four invoices there where we extracted the amounts that were related to the Reinhardt project.
Should be a separate sheet that says this is how much money is coming back to the village out of this contract. You already paid this.
Mm-hmm.
You're almost finished paying this contract.
Well, we haven't paid the ledge, some additional ledge that had to be blasted, and there was, what's the other one for Dawson's on that contingency? There's two things.
44 extra feet of
pipe. Oh, yeah, and then the extra water line to get across and go down. So we haven't paid those either.
I'm just trying to suggest to you that if Jay says we have this information in another place, that means that you can make a mistake. trying to make you not make a mistake with the budget again by having all the information in one place. Mm-hmm. So it's clear to you before it happens. Accountant can tell you when you went bankrupt. But watching cash flow and know what your outstanding debts are and having it all in front of you is how you avoid making a budget mistake.
No, we appreciate it.
David, you had your hand up?
Yes. Going back to normal name matters on the lawyer bills. Mm-hmm. They total $8,188 from January through August. Mm-hmm. But the budget shows a total of $14,676.
This of 2020 or 2019? Was the budget $14,676 for legal?
It says it's been spent.
That was from your budget printout from September the 24th.
Okay.
That's what was spent total.
Yeah.
Right, and some of that was from the water budget. Some of that was water related because we were using
the.
You're
saying we spent 14. Yeah. He's saying the bills only add up to 8,000.
Oh, because you know why, Donna? We had legal bills. From Greg M. Greg M.
Oh, okay.
So the legal bills you got were from our district attorney, from Chris Bolt. Right? So what we do, we also have, there was bills, legal bills that were paid as part of the procurement of the municipal financing.
Oh,
so
Drummond and Woods.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that
can't be charged against the water project?
That's not on the water project.
No. We voted to, because we can't get reimbursed for those at the 24%, so we agreed as a board to apply those costs to the water budget, to the legal costs under the water budget.
They're not
against the project, but simply coming out of the water budget.
Yes, because we couldn't get reimbursement for them.
So if we asked the lawyer's invoices, we should have gotten those.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, so from Greg M. Yep.
Okay.
So, thank you, David.
Okay. Well, I could have tracked that down if I got the profit and loss detailed account. That's probably.
I sent it to you.
Those individual checks, paid it was paid the amount. I
know I sent that to you because you asked me and then.
Second time.
The detail, okay.
I'm making a habit of copying all three of you. Problems with acknowledging emails, and so you made that point last week, and hopefully this better.
I mean, that's a good point because, you know, whatever we can do, help Donna and Lynn, we'll jump right in.
Yeah, no, I have.
I remember you mentioned that to me, and we were looking at QuickBooks when we did it.
Yeah.
We did the detail.
So there's still no acknowledgement that the office received an email when a 91K request. Like, I asked to be on this agenda, and I received nothing back. No, you can't be on this week's agenda.
No, I sent you back.
Yeah, we knew you were coming
in. I sent you with the invoices, and I sent the 1030 will be fine. The Dawson invoices.
In the body of the email itself?
Yeah.
I might not have seen it. I expected.
I saw it.
Yeah, I did. I said 1030 is fine.
Okay, so I'm understanding that it may be all bundled together.
Well, it was bundled together with the ask and the thing, with the invoices and the.
I guess what I'm saying is the system isn't saying we received your email. The automatic thing I set up for Nancy a long time ago so that I know that the email has been received. Why doesn't that happen? Why is that shut off again? Very simple thing to turn back on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a function of Outlook, and so when somebody sends an email to the office, like on Friday when you're not there, it sends an automatic reply saying, we received your email.
Never knew it was.
Yeah.
Oh, well, can that happen? I mean, that would solve a lot of this. I know that the email got received instead of saying.
Yep. We can even just ask Andrew. He can walk you through that in 2 minutes. So it's automatic reply.
But you got the email that she sent you with the information.
Yeah,
You're just saying you didn't read it. You missed it in the body.
David, anything else? Mark?
Anything else?
So you want, I'll get for you A1 through A12, and then we'll find out the situation on A5 on the Dawson contract.
Yeah, I just want to look at this again, knowing that that's not on there.
Okay.
Check all these numbers. Bottom line on that sheet, without A5 being there, it has matches the number of
I mean, maybe A5 got moved into another section. Maybe it got deleted. Maybe it wasn't necessary. So we'll have to figure out what A5 was and why it wasn't included in the bid canvas.
Mark, with respect, Mark and David, with respect to your concern, especially with the Reinhardt project, there's no clerk of the works. There was no review of the contract by our attorney. There are a lot of these things that I'm used to, and certainly you guys are used to, having happened as part of general procedures to protect the district, and it just didn't happen. I voiced my concern as a commissioner at the time, but it is what it is. I'm not sure why going back to reveal all these things. We are finding some concerns and some mistakes that are arising because of that initial contractual stuff in the lack of visibility by the other two commissioners into what was going on.
I'm telling you, going back over this, the project's not completed, the budget all has been spent. If you knew enough information now to know that this possibly could be going over a budget, you could take action now.
Yeah.
Not the right mode, I'm trying to point out to you. You just continue with this kind of information, the level of detail that's not being done, piece is missing out of spreadsheets. You can't take action after they start. My understanding is they're going to do 3 PRVs, and I heard in the recording that the engineer is saying that the PRVs are 25,000 apiece. Now, what I just learned is that that's not an add-on. That's actually in this contract to do these 3 PRVs, even though the water main that connects them all is not part of that. That's an add-on.
Right.
I'm assuming the add-ons can be left off if you don't have enough money to do them. The add-ons were done by this engineer so that he could keep spending money in case this came in under budget. This was not ever going to be given to the voters, the taxpayers, under budget. Mm-hmm. They were going to spend the budget hell of high water. Well, that's a dangerous situation in my experience. I've done a lot of projects here.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked at it all every day, and no one's horrendous the way this is going. I've watched the projects of the road. I mean, I'm looking at the spec that says 6 inches of gravel. Have you looked at what the road spec is?
Yeah.
This is the engineer that's being paid to watch his own design. He's not telling you this stuff. Okay, so you voted, but once you vote, that's it for you. Don't say anything as it goes on. And now you're not outnumbered anymore. I also want to add to your getting outnumbered back in May.
To being outnumbered back in May?
You stopped in May.
Right.
He quit the day after the
highway
supervisor said, you just made the administrator quit,
that
this is madness the way this village is being run and this project is being run, and that she may not be the only one that resigns.
Right. But
I don't want to stop you. Can you keep your mask on, please?
The contracts are signed. I can't unsign them. And I'm trying to do as best as I can with the time that I have to visit the site as often as possible. I'm meeting with them at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm doing what I can do to make sure we get as much out of this as possible in regards to the fact that I don't like the way the contract was done. I didn't sign it. You know that.
You can't stop it from going over budget.
I'm definitely going to try.
There's no indication right now that the project is going over budget.
So if you have, if you see somewhere that you think the project's going to go over budget, tell, share that with us.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, my feeling about all this is that, yeah, what happened has happened. We have to move forward from here. There's a better way we can be managing it now. Share your suggestions. I hear a lot of criticism. I'm not sure what you're suggesting that we do. If you could just
spend time going over this document that you're saying is how you're watching.
Right, so that's
budget.
One thing that we've heard that,
right.
And we're going to look at that. Mm-hmm. Kathy said we're going to look at that. Thank you. That was a good idea, maybe. We'll look at it. I guess my other question is like, what are your other suggestions? I hear your critiques. I don't hear suggestions. You have a lot of great experience doing this, but, you know, I think, you know, Jay has put in a lot of time. Kathy certainly put in a lot of time on this. I haven't because it's not certainly something I was that familiar with, nor is it an area of expertise for me. But the more that we can do, that we'll try to do. But you know, I'm just struggling with what exactly you're asking us to do versus just saying, that's all. So,
I kind of resent that comment for the amount of work I've done to come here and tell you what's missing out of this story.
But I haven't heard a suggestion, Mark. I
like,
just heard
get the details of how this pipe was put in last week. I asked if you
had
photographs.
And we did. Wasn't he discussing that this morning?
Yeah, we discussed that with him this morning.
At length, in detail. I can't recite it all back to you, but what he said
was that all pipe was put in at 6 feet.
Yeah.
And so then I said, so do you have pictures and documentation? So he's going to look for that.
Yeah.
Pictures that are on Dawson's website. You saw those? I mean,
yeah.
We saw a pipe that was not going down 6 feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the pipe that went to this guy's house up on. And I tried not to talk too long here. I'm trying to keep mine to 10 minutes, which is a pipe that went to this house on the top of Rhino.
Yeah.
That water main was extended to this guy's lot.
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying for that?
We have not gotten into that discussion yet. That is. Mm-hmm. Be very interesting. Oh, I can say. It did not happen without authorization.
No.
Does
that sound like a criticism to you or a question about how this project is going in?
No, that's a good question.
It's a question that nobody's
talking about.
My point is that it's a good question. We've noted it, and we've also replied that we didn't authorize it. We're not paying for it. That's the answer.
If you don't mind, I have a question. Mark's got a lot of history here.
Yeah, I understand.
Project Defect. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I did ask the engineer, and it was, we're not sure what's actually going to happen. So the two twin tanks, 30,000 steel tanks that are up there, I asked if they were going to be removed from that site. The answer I got back was that the contractor will probably fill them with sand and remove the front end of that building, the shed. And my concern, obviously, is it's going to be a little unsightly to see two steel drums there, because I'm sure they're not going to get covered, or even if they do, it's going to erode. But there is, I don't know if there is any value in that steel. If you take those out, crush them, bring them off site. But is there harm? You don't have to answer the question. Is there any harm in leaving those tanks there filled with sand?
Because they won't.
Right. Put in a slurry.
The steel is ground. The reason that you're building above ground tanks. Those out track reasons. And here again, with my mind, what I'm saying is, why isn't this all part of this contract?
I had the same questions, believe me, when I went to look for that. If are these steel tanks being taken away, and our engineer this morning said if the contractor wants to take them away, he will take them away and try and scrap them for metal. Or the alternative would be that they have to be filled with sand.
Contractor going to surprise you with a fee to make this safe?
No, it has to be. That's part of the contract that I think filled with sand. And I need to make sure of that because I heard conflicting stories as that they would be taken away. And the engineer is not so sure that. So, but my question
project
is.
Project manager.
Yeah.
He's going to get back to you with the solid answer.
So I'm just reaching out
is there any potential harm in leaving those tanks there, even if they're filled safely with sand? Because they eventually, maybe not my lifetime, but they eventually will rot. The steel culverts happening all throughout the district, but I'm just worried if that's going to be a concern. And could we utilize that space if you remove those tanks today for something more beneficial? That's what I'm looking at. Because that is, as Chris mentioned this morning, when and if the new tank overflows and you see the outflow pipe for the overflow, that water is to run down in that area in front of those tanks. That spare cutout that was for the third tank, if ever needed, that's where that water's going to go if it does overflow. I'm thinking if the two tanks are removed, we've got a much bigger reserve area for any overflow of the new tanks.
So it's going to be whether the contractor sees value in getting that metal to a scrap yard.
Yeah.
And is the contractor allowing to do that, or is this all loose? What damage happens to the roads? Like,
mm-hmm.
A lot of detail. You just can't say.
Yeah, I know. I'm just looking.
Says, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Just looking for a 30,000 foot, anything that would strike you to say, no, it has to be done this way or that.
The suggestion is everything is in writing.
Yeah.
The engineering change order.
Well, I have questions for you, so I'll put it on my
phone. And that's good to ask Chris tomorrow if they can clarify what's
yeah.
going to happen to those tanks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just so we...
Mm-hmm. Well, the contractor, will. He'll know what he's doing or not.
By then.
I
okay.
hope. Thank you. Unless yeah. you got anything else. David?
I've got copies of the invoice, the missing pages mm-hmm. of the
yeah.
invoices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Mark.
And public comment, we have anybody? Oh, I'm sorry.
So, following that, yes, you do your financial reporting on the project. One of the things that's quite typical is an estimate to complete. So, picking up all the loose ends, what's remaining on the contract and what is an estimate? That variance. So there is some visibility as to what to expect at the end of the project in terms of all these items that are there. And it recounts all of the issues in terms of disbursements. It's a rather comprehensive kind of view of the project. And one of the deficiencies that I agree with Mark is that there was no project manager, so that there wasn't visibility as to actual completion and first all relying on the indicators of straight loose ends. And that's unfortunate. I think if we had a professional that managed the details with respect to work progress, I don't think we would have had as many issues we have.
I think Chris did address that. We brought that to his attention early on, and he just said, you know, the cost of a project manager or a clerk of the works being there for, in his world, a very small project, it wouldn't be cost efficient. We spent another $50,000 or $60,000 to look over and find a $2,000 misappropriation. He just didn't feel that it was worthwhile financially for the district to spend that money. So it was discussed, but it was discussed.
That's a debatable issue in terms of whether or not he could have paid for himself with respect to cost saving decisions. A whole series of discussion around decisions that were made that were left up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have had clarity as to action items and those things that take place. So it's a debatable issue as to whether or not it could have, he or she could have done some improvements to the operation of the project. Maybe there was some question. It could have happened as a
Just so you know, it wasn't something that we totally ignored or was left out of the conversation. So that conversation.
Well, we're now dealing with it.
Yep, absolutely.
This is the largest project that the village has ever undertaken. And for smaller projects, we had advice, we had attention to the details. We had people that were involved. Oak Ridge, I was. In effect, up around there. I was the project manager. I showed up twice a day and examined every single detail that's placed on that project. Relatively small project. Didn't cost the village anything in terms of my time. However, we had visibility exactly as to what was going on. Much simpler project. However, it was extremely beneficial in terms of the S-turn and all those other things. Before that, every color of the rainbow was on the guardrail. We had a commissioner who was an engineer, Peter Croft. Peter Croft was a remarkable person in terms of his ability. He volunteered to manage the whole series of projects. So you had intimate knowledge of what was going on. This project questioned us whether or not we had intimate knowledge about any of it. So I think it's a problem. Hopefully at some point, next project.
Well, I would
hope
also, I mean, I think part of the issue or thing we have to really think about as a district is getting people participate to have the most relevant experience. Because I think that over time we've had people maybe use an engineer, there's different, certainly a lot of different kinds of engineers as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or financial people, you know, everybody tries to bring their strength to it. I am not an engineer, nor will I pretend to be one. So I can go up and stand for an hour at a site and I probably won't know what you're talking about and I can listen. There comes a certain point where, like, that's where I think we need to, all of us and everybody who is involved has to keep trying to get people who are not involved today involved. We need more people involved in helping to run this district because we are so small. What amazes me is that, you know, we're not even met. A lot of towns are met. New Hampshire are small. But we're barely the size of a condo, a big condo development, okay? I mean, but we are a town. We are a municipality. We have a water system that has to be managed. It's being managed by laymen, not people who have expertise in this area, and therefore we have to, with a very limited budget, and wanting to be responsible as people that are responsible for the tax rate for data-wise, how do we get this stuff done in an efficient and effective manner? Make sure it gets done well, but we also want to, you know, manage the tax rate. So, you know, we rely on engineers that we hire. We're going to have to do that. I mean, the fact of the matter is that, and so that the more we can find people who live in the district who have some of this expertise, the more we've got to try to draw them in and keep people involved. And that's why, to me, also trying to keep the demeanor as positive as possible. A lot of negativity flies around, and people say, I don't want to be a part of that. And your board said the same thing when you guys were board, and it's going to continue to be an issue. So I hear what you're saying. I wanted more of that expertise, too. The question is, where do we get it from? Or do we have to pay for it? And if we have to pay for it, people's taxes are going to go up. Our tax rate is really high right now.
Well, you could address the financial issues, for example.
Yeah.
My comment about estimates to complete. Do you know how much the project is going to cost?
To complete?
Not off the top of my head, no.
No, and that is a problem.
No, I think that's a good idea.
You don't have the engineer visibility. You can't report to him that you've covered all the loose ends and that you've taken care of all of the budgeting and the PRVs are they in or out?
Yeah,
kind of thing. You know, you could say to them, we're not going to do the PRVs, we're going to come in under budget. Kind of statement. You can't make that statement. You can't make a statement as to whether or not you're over the budget at this point. And the project is nearly complete. There's a whole series of things that are going to be done in November or whatever, and we don't have visibility. These schedules don't tell you that. So I think as managers, you should be able to say that.
I think the uncertainty with respect to your question about how much is this project going to cost to complete, and you heard this morning from our engineer that the Upper Lakeview PRV situation is still in limbo. There was a plan earlier in this process where we thought by connecting two different water lines down around Riggy Drive and West Bergamo, that might eliminate the Upper Lakeview PRVs, but now it's back on the drawing board. So there's still a lot of discussion as to whether there's a cheaper alternative to that project. And again, that project will be done, it looks like, next spring.
Okay. What's the number then?
Or which
What's
one?
The number for the project?
The budget.
The final cost, the estimated final cost of the project.
So the budget for that project is in and of itself or the whole thing?
Because that's a separate project. That's a listed as like an ad.
No, $25,000 was in Dawson. All three of those PRVs were in Dawson's bid. It wasn't.
You have it in the project cost. Whether or not it's ancillary or not, you have one item that isn't even in the budget because you decided to take it out of the budget, which adds to the confusion as to the project cost, by the way. But my point is very simple.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
It really is. It's very simple. And I think it addresses some of the concerns that he is talking about. You respond to the items that are left on to do and the costs associated with it.
About the cost remaining, what's in the contract? Are there any other costs on top of this that we're anticipating at this point?
Yeah, to Ralph's point, to Mark's point, there are the alternative additives.
No,
that was always discussed as being done after the project was done.
Right. Yeah.
There was no commitment or necessary need today.
Right.
The budget right now is what has been awarded in contracts. Is there any anticipated money beyond what's awarded in the contracts that we're anticipating?
No, the only one was the paving, which we're taking out of contingency.
Mm-hmm.
So
right, which we know is $34,000, right?
$37,000.
So we do know what the project cost is.
Yeah. Unless there's some other surprise.
I'm not sure why we're sitting here saying we don't know what it is. We do know.
Yeah.
So why don't you publish it? Why don't you put together a schedule that describes it so that people are aware of it?
I'm not aware of it.
Up until this discussion, you guys said you didn't know.
I don't know what we don't know. I'm confused by
that. Well, we know what any additional work that was done. There was two small estimates from Dawson's because there was some additional water line that was put in and a little bit of ledge blasting, the paving, and then there was $9,000 on Jones and Beach. There was two separate contracts that we signed.
Five and four.
So we haven't paid for them yet, so we know those already.
Again, what's committed?
Right.
Just like the operating budget.
Yeah.
It should always be a.
Yeah.
I agree with this.
I do too. I think all that information is there. I don't think there's anything that we haven't put a number to that's going to come back to bite us. We're not going to get a final bill from Dawson's for $12,000 for cleaning up all the ditch lines.
Right. There was a surprise in that there was a proposed change order to install two culverts at a very high cost because the culverts that they discovered that they were running underneath with the water line were severely deteriorated. So we balked at that, and we never went forward with it because we know that Kelly and his crew could do the job for far less than what was being proposed.
Mm-hmm.
But then, behold, to us, we found out that they were already installed. Kelly didn't know about it either.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we don't know if we're going to get billed for or not, but...
But we're aware of it.
We're aware of it.
But guys, my feeling is no.
Yeah.
They can bill us. We're not going to pay it. If we didn't authorize it, we're not going to pay it. This is pretty, unless, and if our engineer authorized it without our approval, he's going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, That confirms what you're saying. You're saying we don't know if we're going to get billed for something. We should only be getting billed for things that we've authorized.
Yeah, but we may be responsible for the fact that it was done. I mean, work was done and completed. We may be able to negotiate what Kelly could have done the price for. You know, the price that Kelly could have done it for.
But why? How? Why would you pay for something you didn't authorize?
Well, because it was actually it was a temporary patch put on one of the culverts, and then we had a thunderstorm that weekend, and it blew the road up. Culvert failed. So they knew they had to do something.
But the patch on the culvert was the result of Dawson damaging the culvert.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
he had to do something to fix the road.
Mm-hmm. So I guess my question is somebody, that should be a question for tomorrow for your meeting, Jay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a bill coming for that? And where is it?
Yeah, because as Chris had said prior,
when was this done?
Yeah, this was done back July.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So work was done in July. They haven't billed it yet.
Yeah.
No.
And Chris said,
guys,
yep.
You gotta start. I mean, to me, this is what you know. The basic thing is like, I agree in the sense like we need to be accountable for that.
Yeah, and this is where those discussions came in, where Kelly would do the final grading of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
For a certain value, and the value may have been in the placement of those two culverts, so it's a wash.
Mm-hmm.
But to Ralph's point, we need to know what those values are
mm-hmm.
so that we know we're not going over. And that's what we don't know right now. Now, Chris did say last week that Dawson already knows what the cost is because he had his guys put their timestamps in
mm-hmm.
and what the materials were. Now, the materials actually came from our DPW yard. They took our culvert pipes out of our yard get the thing done quickly. So we know certain things, but it's all now going to be a negotiation as to what the real value of that work was. That will be something I'll start the discussion on tomorrow. But I'd rather have to finalize it. I'll get some information, but it needs to be by the three of us.
Mm-hmm. As to what to do.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay. Different topic. Ordinances. What ordinances are you looking for?
We're going to talk about that next week.
Yeah, we're going to discuss it.
Today.
But if you want to see what we are proposing on
yeah.
addressing, not that we'll do it all,
mm-hmm.
but you certainly...
These are things that have come up in meetings in the last year that we noted we want to consider.
You can have that.
Do you need your notes on that?
No, that's fine. I just added one note, which was the detail that Kathy had put in.
So we're all going to go through this and decide which of these we want to pursue.
Okay.
All right.
We haven't finalized it.
Do you have a date when you're going to...
yeah, we have a proposal.
November the 12th. November
12th? Well, I'm sorry. It was going to be...
we never decided
on
anything.
We're going to do
it
Saturday.
I think we have to decide next week when we know what the bulk of this
yeah.
is, how much
yeah.
time we need, and whether we want to do a weeknight or a
right.
Saturday.
Okay.
Was there anything you would suggest as proposing an ordinance change that we should consider?
I think the parking lot. Is a major debacle. We have campers and RVs and all that parked for an extended period of time. Now used parking lot, used vehicle parking lot. Large RV, whatever they call it, the trailer, with a for sale sign. And now a used car lot. The intent of that parking lot was over snow days when people wanted their cars out of their driveway. That was the intent. The intent was not to have boats parked there for 30 days and other vehicles. And the shambles. It looks ridiculous. The appearance of the village is terrible as a result of driving there, and there's wrecked vehicles that have been parked there. There's cars without registration that have been parked there. All sorts of things. I think it's ridiculous in terms of I would like to have the village maintain a reasonable appearance as opposed to a junkyard. So I think that's a new consideration ought to be taken care of, considered.
I think we talked about that, making sure the vehicles were registered. That was a big thing that we was never in the ordinance that any vehicle down there or trailer had to be registered. So at least we could track down the owner. That's where we ran into some difficulties with that.
Plus notifying the office that they're parking stuff.
Right.
Well, if you own a boat on a trailer,
mm-hmm.
why is the parking lot the place to place that particular boat for the season? If you have a boat with a trailer, you should have the ability to decide where you're going to put it, rather than rely on the village. The other thing about it, if somebody wants to park there, why don't you collect a fee?
If we can. Wasn't there an issue, Ralph, when the board wanted to charge $25 for the kayak spaces, and there was a legal reason that the district couldn't...
You become responsible for it in some way. I remember there was
something about it.
That was an administrative fee. That was considered an administrative fee for the work associated with it.
I'm just asking a question.
No notion of it being a profit item or whatever. But we're providing space for somebody who has a vehicle for their own recreation without them having to incur costs for storage. So we're doing people a favor. There are people that don't have boats, that don't have RVs and all these other things, mm-hmm. and they're avoiding the cost. And again, it creates this destruction. You have issues about children with it's a bus stop. You know, I mean, safety issues and everything else associated with it.
I think we have to do a better job of controlling the vehicles that are there, knowing who owned them, communicating with the office. And some people have said, look, I've got, you know, my parents are coming up from Florida. Can they park their camper there while they're visiting for the week? Because their driveway is like the driveway in Oak Ridge, and there's just no place to park it. And it's a much greater hazard to try and park a camper or a large vehicle or a boat right on the roadway and the constructing views and just it's just more of a dangerous situation than having it down at the parking lot. So I think we need to do a better job at being able to identify and track whose vehicles there are so that when they're there for an extended period of time that we can communicate with them. And that was something that we neglected to add to the ordinance when we made the changes back in 19.
I think one of the other things, when we do finally have the public hearing, if this is one of the ordinances we decide to change, one of those changes may be to put signage at the lot, which will state, and if you're wanting to park your car here, you must register with the office.
Right.
And right now, it's an open field.
And there's never been signage there to communicate that to anybody. So that's another good point.
Right. Any unregistered cars with the office will be towed within 48 hours of depositing your vehicle or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would have the issue, and I guess it's no fault of anybody, somebody disposing of.
So it's
sort of, again, it's like welcome bylaw is the junkyard of the valley.
But that's happened once in how many years, you know? And we talked about the for sale sign on the fifth wheel. You know, can we tell him he can't put a sign on it? Right now, I don't think we can.
Because it is a registered vehicle.
It's a registered vehicle, and like Jay said, if he took his truck with a for sale sign on it and went to Walmart, they can't tell him to move the vehicle because he has a for sale sign on it. So, but if we want to put that in the ordinance, then we can do that. But now it's not.
I think the notion of it being temporary versus long term and the ability to avoid the cost associated with something I own.
We thought it was temporary, and we defined 30 days.
Right, and that was a problem with the argument that you...
There was no time limit before. It's temporary.
Right.
Kind
30
of
days, you move it out of there for two a day, and you start the clock running again for another
30
days.
So it's really, then
you have the argument, gee, did he actually move it out of there?
Or did he drive around the block?
he moved it out, and he actually used it for a day or two, and then moved it back.
Yeah.
So you get into that hair-splitting kind of issue in terms of is it actually 30 days or 15 or 14 or whatever. You get into an argument, the guy's got it for the whole season.
So we could say 30 days.
Well, I think we should discuss it.
Yeah.
We could
discuss this all day. But
yep. Okay. Yeah, this isn't the public hearing yet.
I think you have.
No, but I was just curious.
We get some good suggestions, and
yep.
You should take them under consideration.
Yep.
My intent is to discuss this at the public hearing.
Yes,
great.
You're certainly will hear me.
Yeah.
the last matter is, what is the status of the Adam Eliezer driveway issue?
We'll be going into non-public again today to further discuss it.
Can we repeal what's been done so far? I mean,
yeah.
The minutes have been sealed until it's been resolved.
Yeah,
okay.
No, but
Ralph, it's ongoing. Yeah. It's ongoing.
So as you know, that part is public. We've asked Adam to reimburse the district taxpayers for $1,069.11 for the material and labor that was done to his driveway.
Right.
And we've gotten some correspondence back from him.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Can you share the results of your...
Pardon me?
Can you share the status of your suit against him?
Oh, the... Pardon
me? Didn't you file suit in Superior Court or not?
Oh, it's suit. The issue is, I filed a criminal for Adam's use of village. In process. Don't have a final determination as to where they're going. Need to follow that up. Up until this point, the court has been a look at it. Ended. One of the issues was they asked whether or not the first department could talk with the village attorney. That was refused to commissioners. So that ended some of the conversation that could be determinant as to Adam's intent. So that was a setback in terms of the ability to access this in terms of what actually went on. The other issue was, and it was brought up in terms of, I requested bills associated with the Eliezer matter. Certain bills blacked out in their entirety, and Mark covered that particular issue. So there were discussions, not even the topic was described by the commissioners in terms of, and the it was redacted. The entire communication between the lawyer was redacted. So cooperation of the commissioners is nil on this in terms of pursuing it. And it would have been to the benefit of the village, the taxpayers, in terms of having that being pursued with vigor. And unfortunately, the commissioners have obstructed it. So that's an issue with respect to what is going on in the future.
All right, anything else?
Do you want to talk about the audit?
Yeah, the RP.
RP, yeah. Did you guys take a look at that?
I didn't. Not yet.
Oh, okay.
I have not.
Just one thing that I think is great. The one thing I wanted to point out and I'm,
mm-hmm.
is that the term GASB 8, which is
government compliance.
Yeah, government compliance.
Yeah.
I don't think we actually specify that.
We didn't, or we are.
I don't
remember.
I know we do have to comply with it in our audits, but I don't think we actually specified it in the RFP.
This is a standard here. Okay, let me go back and look at that. I know which thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
I was
sorry.
Going
Thank
off
you.
Of, I think I might
Thank
have
you,
Ryan.
Thanks, Ralph.
Thanks, Ralph.
Have a good one.
Under qualifying requirements.
Yeah, that wasn't in the one that I
and then the audit.
It wasn't in the one that I picked up off of. You know, as I said, I used somebody else's as a.
Yeah. Was it another municipality or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They may not be using GAAP. You did point out that the GAAP, G-A-A-P.
Yeah.
And OMB, but I'm just wondering if that is sufficient enough and would cover GAAP.
Let me look at that again. I remember reading about that, but it could have been in there and I took it out. I'm looking at a copy where I had some other changes, but let me go back and just see if they had it in there and I took it out.
Okay.
I don't think they did, but
yep.
I'll confirm that.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't all New Hampshire municipalities have to be held to
yeah.
the same federal accounting standard?
No, I don't believe the town of town right here follows GAAP.
Then why would we?
Yeah.
I did too, by the way.
Yeah.
The one I use, and I want to say who it is because I don't want to, you know, then people comparing.
Yeah.
Is that, once again, we got to go back to how big we are,
right.
What kind of budget we have. And I'm telling you, most of the other ones I found where you could be defined in the budget what people were spending was upwards of $20,000 per audit. So what I did when I went through was I tried to strip some stuff out because I was like, there's no way that we can. You know, one of the things, and I don't remember if I left it in or not, that Mark suggested last week was that we include that they have to show up to a public meeting to defend the audit. I did come across that either in a standards thing or in somebody's contract, and I'm like, do we want to pay for that?
Right.
You know, at a certain point, like...
We've got a $500,000
budget.
We've
got a $500,000 budget. These municipalities, most of the ones you're looking at, they have multiple departments.
School department and fire
budget,
department and police department.
$5 to $10 million budget. We have got to, you know, it's great that we have this. I really tried to figure this out. I'm not sure. We don't even have to legally do an audit. We can apply to not do one.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that we're doing one, but I'm telling you, and I'm telling you as a commissioner now and as a citizen, our taxes are too high.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to get our spending under.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm not going to $20,000 on it.
Yeah.
No, it's completely
so
unnecessary.
It's unnecessary. I mean, we've got to make sure that we're following the rules. But all the stuff that's been put in place over the last 20 years, that all these people keep adding all this stuff, it's costing us more money.
Yeah. I'm going to, Donna, are you still on the phone?
Yep.
I'm all in favor of the audit.
So
that's why, Jay, let me go back again. I'll check that GAAP thing. But I did take some stuff out that I just thought was unnecessary because I thought this is going to cost a lot.
And that may be a good point. We're talking about whether or not GAAP is required to do an Edelweiss audit. I know we have in the past 9 years now, but if in our RFP, if there's a difference in cost between a GAAP audit and a non-GAAP, if there's significant reduction, then we might just go with the reduction, you know, to save some money.
I don't know that. I think if it's just some kind of requirement, because one of the ones I found was this one town, they basically wanted their thing submitted for some award every year. So it's like, you will, because I think it has to do with that.
Yeah.
So they submit it to this group, and then they get, like, a gold award, and they're so proud that they've gotten this on their audit. Come on. Like, we need to have a good audit. We need to have a one that we can trust.
Mm-hmm.
We have this audit that's accurate. We should be able to, you know, we should be challenging it. But we also have to be fiscally responsible for the district.
Yeah.
I know that when I go to the financial institutions to borrow money, they want our audit.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it has to comply
with
all the standards for that, which,
right.
I mean, there's a whole paragraph in here about.
Yeah.
And as I said, all these firms that I cited that we're looking at, they do this for lots of other towns.
Right.
So we're nothing different or in regard.
I remember 7 consecutive years not too long ago where no audit was even done.
Right.
Though it was showing up in our budget every year, $4,500, and people were paying taxes to have it done, and it wasn't being done.
Yeah. So I think
and nobody even asked for it?
Nobody even asked.
Well, I think we absolutely should have an audit, and we should have. So I think
there was a time when if your budget was below a certain amount, you didn't have to have an audit, and that's where we fell during those years. However, I think we're above that amount now.
Yeah. So they could have changed that because I thought it was pretty. I looked at it. I'm like, I think we fall into this. But I think we should be doing one, you know, mm-hmm. no matter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Regardless. Mm-hmm. You know, we're spending tax dollars. I mean,
they have the right to know where, how it's being spent,
exactly.
and it's being spent
mm-hmm.
properly. Yep. Okay.
But
anything else? Donna, you have anything for public comment?
Just how long are you guys going to be before I can sign the checks at the office? Do you have an idea, like an hour, half an hour?
We've got non-public, so.
Right. I know. Okay, right. Well.
I'm going to the office.
Getcha.
What's good for you, Diane?
You know, if you want to go to the office. Well,
you guys back to the office
yeah.
with all the checks.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, Lynn or Donna will go back to the office now, so they'll probably be there in about 15 minutes.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'll make a motion that we go into non-public session.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Why,
roll call.
Also why are we going into non-public?
Oh, I'm sorry. For the 90...
Okay.
Oops, I'm sorry. 91A, colon 3, L, legal advice, legal counsel.
What time is it really?
I know.
The computer says 11:42.
Yeah,
11:42.
Okay.
All right. Turn it off then.
Yep, we'll call everybody who's in favor. Yes, yes, yes.
Who
yes.
seconded that non-public motion? Oh,
yeah,
right.
Paul. Or
yeah, Paul seconded it.
Okay,
so hang the phone up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Phone up.